Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
I'm 22 years old. I've been on YouTube. I love to hang out with my friends. I love to laugh. I love the summertime and going to the beach. And I love wearing bikinis at the beach with everyone there. I just want everyone.
Well, you know, you can't all be winners.
Are y'all having a good time?
This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 116 for the week of May 16th, 2016. So many 16s. I am Sandy Crotch, David T. Cole, and I'm here with maddening Mr. Softy Jingle, Sarah D. Bunting. Summer Friday, Joe Reed.
Is it 1 o'clock yet?
Patchy Sunburn Tar Ariano.
It's so itchy!
And Strawberry Shortcake, Kim Reed.
The food, not the doll.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Extra Hot Great. Joining us this... Yes, Dave.
Well, joining us this week is Kim Reed. Hello, Kim.
Hello, Kim.
Yay!
Hi, Kim.
Hey.
Just before we got into the meat of it, I just want to say a production note. Due to complications, we are depending on Skype, the actual Skype recording for this week's episode. So if it gets a little Skypey at times, that's why. It might be slightly degraded this week, so I just want to give everybody a heads up.
We're all doing our best.
We're all doing our best.
Forgiving
we're all
us.
Be slightly degraded around here.
Yeah. Well,
they have heard in the men's room.
Thank you.
We have Kim back because she loves television and because our topic this week is our summer previews. So we're going to go around the country literally and talk about the new shows each of us is excited for, returning shows we're excited for, new shows we should be excited for but aren't, and a returning show that we are dropping. Shall we get into it?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, Kim, why don't you start us off with the new show that you are excited for?
Okay, well, first of all, I really appreciated this. I hadn't taken a minute to look at, you know, what was upcoming. I've just been focused on the end of the, I guess, regular season. I don't even know what we call it anymore, but May sweeps-ish stuff.
Yep.
So there were tons of shows that I'd kind of heard something about a long time ago was in development, but didn't realize were starting. Mm-hmm. So this was very exciting. The one I probably am most excited for was one I actually hadn't heard of at all until I read about it, 13 on BBC America, which is the story of a girl named Ivy who is kidnapped and kept in a basement for 13 years. She was 13 when she was kidnapped, and now she's returned to her family. So it's sort of like the drama version of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yep.
And I guess there's going to be mysteries. She doesn't know who took her. They don't know where this person is. So there's a police investigation going on. There's questions whether she's telling everything that she knows and how her family is going to deal with her return. So I do feel like this area has been covered in some other shows recently, but I trust the BBC to do it well. And it's only 5 episodes in the first season. It's a limited run series. So light commitment. Can't beat it.
Oh, I'm totally going to watch that too. It sounds sort of like a TV version of Room kind of also.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, so Sarah, what do you got?
I am excited for OJ Made in America, which is not really a series, but that's coming in June to ESPN and ABC. It's sort of unclear to me what the airing schedule is, but I'm sure we'll be saturated with info about it. And you'd best believe I will be covering it for previously.tv. I am also excited for another, like, it's one of those... I guess Nick Reinwald Jones was talking about how they call things limited series until it gets picked up.
Right. Yeah.
And it's actually just a series, but HBO's attempt to make it up to us about True Detective, The Night Of.
Yeah.
Pretty excited about that. The cast looks really good. Joe and I were just talking right before the record, though, about how the teasers, like the teasers for True Detective season two looked really good, too. And
it's a very teasy
that
kind
shat
of like
an entire like warehouse of beds. So I'm not. Yeah. Yeah, I'm hesitant to get excited about it, but I'm excited about it because John Turturro is awesome.
It's so wait, the mattress warehouse. I have a logistical question about that. Is that like 600 individual shits, or is that like going up to the roof and just sort of like doing an aerial attack on it?
Yeah, I think it's basically inserting your bum into the sprinkler system. And then,
oh my god. This took a turn.
Forgiveness,
this really
please.
Elaborate.
So fast.
I can't believe how quickly this went off the poopy rails. Joe, what
record.
Are you excited for?
I am excited for a
shit sprinkler PI.
You know what that is.
The bane of sleepies. Oh no, and no, I'm gonna start coughing. Pardon me. I am excited
Kablamo.
For a show. Sorry. Kablamo. A show coming to Netflix in August called The Get Down.
Yeah,
it is
yeah.
from producers Baz Luhrmann and Sean Ryan, a combo which you would never like intuitively think of, and nope. yet it has me incredibly excited. It is a look at 1970s New York City, the sort of dawn of like the punk and hip hop and disco sort of scenes all at once, which makes it sound like the version of Vinyl that I would have wanted to see.
Yeah.
That, you know what I mean? That's yep. looking at like actually sort of like, instead of just, you know, oh, rock and roll again, it's just like, oh no, there were so many other different things happening in New York City. And like the trailer just looks stylistically so incredibly cool. It looks like it's got a really interesting cast of young actors and Jaden Smith. So that should be at least, I find him at least, at the very least, I think he's a fascinating celebrity in that mm-hmm. he's probably like just irreparably damaged by his parents, but like it's turned him into like kind of a cool little kid. So we'll see how that goes. We get, I guess, 6 episodes when it premieres in August, and then 7 more are being made for next year. So it's sort of, that has that like limited series, mini series feel to it. It looks really cool though. And I'm just sort of crossing my fingers that it turns into, that it sort of lives up to that promise. Cause the trailer, go out and check it out on YouTube. It's amazing. It's
we did a little post on it. You can also find that on previously.tv if you go to shows and look at The Get Down, cause it's there as well.
Yeah. Looks super cool. Tara, what do you got?
Well, that was on my list too. So I'm going to talk about another couple of shows that I had in mind. One is the Netflix sitcom Lady Dynamite, the Maria Bamford show. It actually drops as we record this Friday on May 20th, the season drops, and it's a collaboration between her and Mitch Hurwitz of Arrested Development. We started to watch the premiere because we got a screener this week. Dave fell asleep on the couch at like 6:45, so we didn't get all the way through it.
Yeah, but that's not a reflection on the show. What I
no,
watched
it's
was
not.
Actually
not
quite funny. I just happened to be extremely tired that day.
It's super weird. The cold open yeah. of the first episode is just bizarre. Like it starts out sort of like
kind of wish the whole series was like that, but
it does. It kind of it has
all star wipes.
Yeah, it's like the, you know, her take on like a commercial for a feminine product or something, but it's just like a cute girl about town, and then things kind of start going nuts, and it's semi-autobiographical about stuff that happened in her life in terms of like her mental health issues and stuff. So I'm looking forward to that because I love her as a comic, and I think this is going to be good. And also another HBO show, Vice Principals. This is the new show with God, what's his name? Danny McBride, as a vice principal of a school. And also in this, and what I'm more excited about is Walton Goggins of Justified, because yes. I love him as a comedy actor. And I'm excited, although I thought he was amazing in Justified. Of course, we all did. But getting to see him in a comedy is going to be fun. So I'm looking forward to that one.
And
too.
Those trailers looked good, too.
They
actually.
Did. They did.
But I was like, that looks stupid. So yeah
a lot of kooky stuff happening in a high school, and if kids get hit in the face with dodgeballs, so much the better, because that's never not funny. Dave.
True.
That was also my pick, so
oh.
congratulations on stealing my pick for your second choice.
Sorry.
For your second choice.
Sorry.
You're fired. But that is a good pick. I am also very excited about it for no other reason, if not that it looks like a good show with a good cast. And that on a mini a few months ago, we were talking about, I don't know, I think it might have been like actors who were just ended a show where we can put them next. And my pick was Walton Goggins on a comedy and maybe a prestige comedy somewhere on a really good network. And then like 2 months later, I discovered the show had already been in the works.
Yeah.
So in my own head, the I'm like Nostradamus, provided. Even though it was already happening and it could have been just through back channels that I heard about it. And yes. My mind just forgot.
You did that with
it.
Maria Bamford too.
I did. Yeah. I had a run for about 2 months where I was like picking shows out of the, out of the guff.
Yes. We should also say you're intrigued by Preacher, but we're going to be talking about that in at length in the next podcast, so we will not go into that too much.
Yes, indeed. All right, so let's move on to returning show that we are ready for, and we'll go back to Kim.
Okay, well, when I was looking at the list of, I don't know what I was doing last summer, you guys, but I don't think I watched hardly any of the shows that are returning this summer. Mm-hmm. But one show that I did watch and excited to watch it again this summer is Big Brother. And here's why.
Yeah. All stars.
I know Tara is against shows that have more than one episode per week.
True.
But I feel like Big Brother in the summer, that's perfect because there's not so much going on some weeks, so you can watch every episode. But then if you have a week where you have to skip all three episodes that week, it's not a big deal. You just get caught up. They show you, they tell you what happened last week. You don't, it's like a soap opera where you only have to watch it on Fridays to really know what's going on. If you want to go in depth, you can read about the live feeds. But if you just want to watch the elimination episodes and get the gist, you can do that too. So it's the ultimate summer show because it can stand up to whatever time commitment that you're able to give, even if that changes from week to week, which I think for a lot of people it does. Nice. Sarah, what do you have?
Well, I was going to say that I was excited for Rectify the final season, but they just started shooting it. And I think it's premiering in like October. Yeah. So technically, I'm not sure I should be excited about this returning, given that I didn't realize it had even premiered already. I thought it was still in the works. But there is a show called Rock the Boat. It is about a new kid's cruise and the lives and loves of everyone involved. Apparently, season one was like, these super fans get to make their dreams come. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I want to know about the kids.
Yep.
And season two is devoted to the kids. And I, for some reason, like, I didn't like their music at the time and actually kind of resented them because I worked in a mall store that carried like little Joey McIntyre pillowcases and had to physically break up tween fights over like the last whatever novelty marble with Amazing. Donnie's face in it. But them as a phenomenon and also their behind the music is the fucking best. The way they're all just like, what the hell was that? Like, we're not even that cute. Danny Wood's like, all I could do is dance. I can't sing.
They weren't all that cute. That was the amazing.
No, they weren't.
But that's, I mean, that's actually perfect for that age group.
Yes.
Because everyone thinks they have a chance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Everybody thought they had a shot with Jonathan Knight. Turns out, me more than most.
Except, good luck with that because he's like super.
Oh, he's a fox now.
No, I mean, he's a fox now, but he's also a super anxious fox, and I'm not sure how did they convince him to go on this cruise. I think they literally, like, it was a blow dart and, like, a big burlap sack, and then when he woke up, they were in Cabo.
Guys, what happened?
Actually, now I want to see this show that I just talked about, The Kidnapping of Jonathan Knight. Anyway,
American
Joe,
Crime Story.
What are you excited about?
If you would have told me 2 years ago that the show I would be most excited about coming back was Halt and Catch Fire, I would have called you a damn liar.
Yep.
And yet, I am super excited for this to come back. It doesn't have a set premiere date, but it's like August-ish, I guess.
Yep.
When last we left our heroes, they were about to pick up stakes and head west to the Silicon Valley and hitting a really interesting point in history in terms of like development of the computers. And like, honestly, they can be as like fast and loose with that kind of history as they want to with me because I don't know it. So like, I'll believe whatever they tell me. Mostly it's I really love the turn that season two took to focusing on the two women characters. Mackenzie Davis is phenomenal. Carrie Bechet, is that how we pronounce it?
Yeah.
There's an accent on that E, I believe. Mm-hmm. Is so good. The two of them are great. Lee Pace's character, when he's not like the focal point, when he's like the featured supporting guy, is really compelling and is really, like, I find very cool to watch. The only sort of weak spot is Scoot McNairy's character, and they could kill him at any time. So, yep. Like, who knows? It's a really fun show. It's a really, you really get into sort of hoping that they succeed, and it's, I don't know, between this and Silicon Valley, like, I'm developing the most unexpected.
Joe
aesthetic.
Loves computers.
I know.
Yeah, I think Halt and Catch Fire might be like the most amazing turnaround of the modern age.
I 100% agree with that.
Like, in the first season, like, the setting was like, ooh, and then the show was, ooh. And then the second season, yeah, they just really, like, it really was 2.0. You know, it just switched gears. They decided to change the focus, change, you know, the setting a bit, and, you know, and just run with it. And it was very successful, yeah, except for, and this just goes, this just might be me, but I always harp on it, drug addiction storylines are so fucking boring to me. I hate them. I think they're lazy writing. So I think that part of it could have been excised to make it even stronger. But yeah, totally excited for it too.
Yep.
That was on my list too. So instead, I will talk about two that I know Dave is definitely not going to pick. Mm. One is my classy pick is Unreal on Lifetime. Season one was so good. And the fact that this week we got a Law and Order SVU episode that was like...
I don't begrudge anybody. It's just not for me, but I can, when we watched it,
yeah,
I thought it was really good example of what it was.
I'm saying I'm not picking any shows that you will pick in, for your next round.
I see.
That's all.
Got it.
Anyway, this week on Law & Order SVU, we got a sort of its take on Unreal / The Bachelor franchise, which was annoying, but it also made me really hype for the season Unreal to come back. It's doing something that the actual Bachelor has never done, which is have a Bachelor of color. So that will probably be interesting and show a lot of the stuff about why that probably doesn't happen in real life, because people on the production are probably racist, I'm going to guess. But anyway.
And it's going to bring up a lot of things for Chris Harrison that we'll get to see in tweet form.
Yes!
And then he'll delete them and it'll be really, really real.
But my real honest from my heart pick of the show that I'm most looking forward to coming back this summer is Royal Pains for its final. Can you guys even believe it? 8th season.
Wow.
This is season
it had eight refills and then it was done.
Oh, good one, Dave.
Thanks.
Yeah, Royal Pains is not a good show, but I love it so much. It's the summeriest show that ever summered, other than Big Brother, possibly. It's exactly like all of those USA like light occupational shows. Like, there's lots of cute guest stars that come in and leave, and people are dressed nice and everyone gets along and it's nice. It's a very pleasant show that I enjoy very much. So Royal Pains is the show I'm probably most excited for.
My first pick for returning show I thought would be gobbled up before it got to me, but it is Angie Tribeca, June 6th.
Oh, yes.
It is coming back for second season after its first season dump.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it is Naked Gun 2016.
Mm-hmm.
It is super stupid. It is the kind of show that you just turn your brain off and laugh. If you can't do that, you'll hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is just packed full of dumb jokes.
It's not laugh a minute. It's like 7 laughs a minute.
Yeah.
It's just very so dumb. Jokey.
And yeah, looking forward to that. Got nothing new to say since the last time we talked about it. But because I thought that one was going to be picked, I did have one in the chamber, and that is Netflix August, second season of Narcos.
Oh, yeah.
Which we watched a few months after it hit, just because we were, you know, peak TV, all that.
Mm-hmm.
And what an interesting series. And what a star turn for the guy who plays Escobar. I don't know his name.
Anybody knows? Remember his name either.
Yeah. Who is like not actually even a native speaker. Is that right? Did I read that somewhere? That
he's Brazilian, I think. So he's
he speaks
Portuguese.
Yeah, right. So he had to learn Spanish again. So, Narcos is my pick for the show that I am looking forward to that isn't stupid.
Wagner Moura.
Thank you.
His name.
Yeah, I love him a lot. And there's all these little touches in the show that I really enjoy. And we're still trying to hunt down that Escobar as a candle votive candle art thing.
As Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sarah, I don't know if you watched this one when it was on, but you would like it. It is like mega processy.
Yeah.
It's super, like, goes into an incredible amount of detail about what goes into, like,
do you remember
DNA?
That cartoon with the the Elmer Fudd looking elf that explains industry through shoemaking?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Actually.
So Narcos, the first chunk of the season, is like that, but
about
instead
cocaine.
Of an elf, it's an FBI agent, and he's explaining how the drug trade started in Colombia, and sort of like how they did everything, how they went from huts in the jungle to like owning the universe. It is super.
So it's
processing.
Like that section of The Big Short meets a social hygiene film,
yeah.
meets Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
yes,
if
it
there
is.
Was, and if there
in
was
Spanish.
A yeah,
all right, I'm in.
And if there was like a Latin version of Powerhouse, bump, 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 bump. It would be playing in the background.
Yeah, Sarah, that. You would really, really like this show, I think.
Yeah, I recommend it for you.
Noted.
All right, let's move on. A show we should be into, but are not. Back to Kim.
New show.
Okay,
new
well,
show. Yeah.
I am a fan of SNL. I recently started covering it for previously.tv. And I'm also a fan of music and variety shows. And yet, I am not excited for Maya and Marty in Manhattan, which is the variety show starring Maya Rudolph and Marty Short. I support the idea of a variety show, and I love Maya Rudolph very much. Martin Short's kind of a deal breaker for me.
Yep.
In that context, based on his appearances on Hollywood Game Night and his appearances in general, he's just
his
such a ham.
Appearance.
Yeah.
He's so
creepy
looking.
Yeah.
Ever since Clifford, I just can't with that guy. I know it was 20 years ago, but
he's just such a ham and like sucks all the air out of the room for me. I didn't love the variety special that Mariah Rudolph had. When was that? Like last Christmas holiday time? Maybe
I think it was like last summer, actually. Or maybe summer
right,
before.
Well,
it was a while ago.
Yeah, but you know, I had high hopes for that, watched it, and was like, not really for me. So I don't think this show is going to be for me, even though all the elements suggest that it might be. Sarah?
I have two versions of this. The first are the new shows that I should be excited for, but am not. And that's like all the game shows, like Celebrity Family Feud, mm-hmm. the $100,000 Pyramid reboot.
Who's hosting the Pyramid?
I'm not sure. Because
I might watch that. I'm going to give that.
I think they snuck that news in. I thought I might give that a chance too, but I feel like they snuck that hosting news in, like in the sort of background glare of.
Oh no! Oh no!
That could be okay. Like the host of that doesn't actually get
that's true. Well,
a ton to do. He's just like leaning on the little charmed circle.
He won't get that good Dick Clark. Like, what if you tried? wallpaper. What if you tried Venetian blonde?
Yeah, Dick Clark was really actually good.
That was my favorite part of the Pyramid because it was
really
so like,
yes.
It avoided passive aggression by like a hair because like with anybody else you'd be like, all right, guy, we get it. I could have got it, but like he was just like he was genuinely like, here's what maybe might have worked.
It was great. I love him.
Yeah, I mean Alec Baldwin hosting the Match Game. I just don't. Get it.
Yeah.
And I feel like these versions are going to be even more fillery than the originals. And I'm just not like, I want to be excited, but I have a feeling I'm going to be disappointed.
How did the Match Game not hire? I'm sorry. Sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you.
No.
Okay.
Ahead.
Before you get off the Match Game, how did the Match Game not hire Billy Eichner?
Yeah.
Oh, God, of course. Yeah.
Oh, man. That would have been amazing.
He's already in the is NBC? It doesn't matter.
No, it's ABC.
Okay. Well, whatever. It's whatever. ABC. He's a free agent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Sarah.
I agree. And then the inverse is like the new shows I shouldn't have any hope for. But for some reason, I think it's going to be different this time. Yes, I have a semi-abusive relationship with the Investigation Discovery Channel. Not be excited for new Investigation Discovery joints, Vanishing Women and I Am Homicide, which is basically Homicide Hunter lady version.
Oh my God.
But I keep getting my hopes up and then I keep. You know, like there's a reason that I made a bingo card for these kinds of shows. And then it's always the same thing. It's always like these interstitial shots of people like intensely typing while Keith Morrison is droning on about an insurance policy. I mean, bless his heart, but I don't know why I never learn. Anyway, I should chill out. They're not going to be that good. Joe, what show do you want to be excited about, but you ain't?
So I think Kim made a really good case for 13 on BBC America. And I like agree. I think. Ideally, you should be looking forward to that show. I think I'm probably out just because, like, I can't do over the summer, like, another abduction tale, another sort of, like, you know, kind of washed out, the, you know, the fall kind of making me feel bad about humanity kind of thing. Like, on the surface, like, breakable Kimmy Schmidt sounds like a really good idea. And yet, like, and I know it's short. The saving grace of that is just, like, it's only a few episodes. So, like, ideally, probably. But, like, there's a surprising amount of, like, robust TV going on this summer with, like, all the stuff we talked about we haven't even gotten into, like Orange is the New Black. And I'm planning on picking up Bachelor in Paradise maybe this summer. So, like, I have my priorities. Sorry about it, BBC America. But most of my Twitter timeline isn't talking about you. They're talking about Bachelor in Paradise, and I'm sick and tired of being left out of the discussion. So this is the summer of that for me. So I'm probably not going to be able to do it. But, like, ideally, it seems good.
I love the idea of re-recording Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt to be Breakable Whatever, except it's the same tune, but it's really dour.
Discordant.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a minor key.
Breakable.
There's, like, glass breaking in the background.
Her current whereabouts
alive,
is unknown, dead.
Yeah.
Like the Monster Mash.
All right.
Tara.
On to me. Oh, Tara. Joe's not done. Joe is done.
Yeah. No, I am done.
Okay.
On to you.
Tara.
TNT has an adaptation of the film Animal Kingdom, the Australian movie, which I liked a lot when I saw it. It's a film, yes. But this is a TV series starring Scott Speedman, which nothing wrong with that. However, Translating it to America, I don't know. I'll probably watch the first couple, but I'm wary of it. I don't think that I've ever gotten on board with a TNT original drama, and I don't know if this is going to be the one to do it. Similarly, the Cameron Crowe show for Showtime, Roadies, which at least brings him back to area that he's, you know, competent in. This is, like, you know, potentially has almost famous-y vibes, and that was probably the last movie of his that I liked. But since that time, he's made a lot of real shitty movies, and I don't know if he's just lost it. Elizabethtown is one that I, for some reason, keep watching over and over again, just like poking a bruise, like just to remind myself how incredibly terrible it is on every front. It makes no sense. But yeah, that's one. And the inverse, to take Sarah's note, of like shows that I shouldn't be excited about, and yet I kind of am. Teenage Newlyweds on the FYI network. I assume you're going to get exactly what's on the tin. Yeah. So those are mine. Dave.
All right. I'm going to cheat a little bit because I actually just watched this show last night. Should be into, but will not be, probably, is Outcast, which is a Cinemax show by Robert Kirkman, the guy who created The Walking Dead. This is another comic he did. I didn't really know what it was about. Turns out, and all right, you know. Yes, Spoilers of Hope on Ahoy.
It premieres June 3rd, so this is well June 3rd, in advance.
Yeah. And a really great what the fuck opening to this episode, but then it just sort of settles down into a very basic possession tale, sort of like a TV version of, a light version of all the movies that are out, and you can't remember the title from one to the other, whether it's The Kid, the Annie, the... the mascara girl, or, you know, whatever.
The boy, Annabelle.
Yeah, so it's just a story of this guy, and apparently demons have been possessing people all around him for all his life, and he's sad. And
it's
I don't know if it's Patrick Fugit
from Almost Famous.
Well,
I don't know if it's going to progress beyond that, because I didn't even know that comic existed. But I just read a little bit. It seems like it is, you know, just a tale of demonic possession, and it was kind of boring, guys. It was kind of boring.
However, Sarah, Reg E. Kathy is also in it as the sheriff of the town. So I don't know if that makes you more or less interested in checking it out.
Yeah.
Neutral. Like, he's in a lot of garbage time stuff. True. Like, when he shows up, you're like, yay. And then he leaves and you're like, oh, yeah.
That's kind of what this show is.
I'm going to give it one more episode. So maybe next week when we talk about Preacher and comic book stuff, I'll give an update. But so far, it seems like it ain't happening. All right. Our last category. Show we are dropping, Kim.
Did you end the spoiler thing? I'm sorry.
Thank you, Kim. I was going to say that too.
Now the spoilers for Outcast at an end. Something, 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 something. I am just kind of tired, certainly.
Okay, returning show you are dropping, Kim.
Yes.
Okay, well, as previously mentioned, I discovered there weren't a lot of returning shows that I watched last summer. So I picked one, the show that I actually did watch a few episodes of that I certainly will not be watching again. And that is Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll. I actually dropped it about halfway through the first season last year. Dennis Leary, I've given you so many friggin' chances. I've tried. No one. I've read your book. I've watched your comedy specials.
Mm-hmm. I went to your hockey tournaments.
Sure. I think initially, like, I liked his interstitials comedy bits on MTV back in the day. Maybe that's where he got some goodwill for me. I watched Rescue Me for probably the first, I don't know, four or five. I don't even know how many seasons it ran, but I watched for a long time before giving it up. And I even gave this show a shot, but I'm so tired of your shtick. I just can't anymore with you. So I will not be watching Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll.
Sorry, just one more thing before we go to Sarah. I was never going to be into that show, but when I found out his character's name is literally Johnny Rock, I was like, how first thought is this piece of shit? Like, as if the title alone didn't tell you, no one has put any, like, inventiveness or creativity into this thing. Let's just call him Johnny Rock. Then people will know he's a rock star. Fuck you. Sarah.
Guys, that show's so bad.
Yeah, plus he looks like he's wearing a koosh ball, and those of us who watch live Mets baseball still can't escape the guy because he does like the Ford voiceovers.
Yeah. What if that's just like a buddy comedy though between like Johnny Rock and like Ed Drugs and like Esther Roll. Esther Roll.
Nice. Perfect.
Oh boy. Yeah. Okay, so there are a couple of shows that already returned that I dropped, including Orphan Black, Sorry Ladies, and Turn, Washington Spies, Sorry No One, Sorry Colonies. Speaking of giving it enough chances, like Murder in the First is always right on the cusp of being good, and like they'll always come in strong with like some intense, like a premiere, and then the next episode and a half are always really good. They have a great cast. They're allowed to say most of the swears, not quite enough swears. The seasons are always a little too long. Like it's 10 or 12 episodes, but it's still too long. It should be like 7 or 9. I support you, Claire Chancellor's daughter, but I just kind of can't with this anymore. And you never see any Diggs ass. So why should I continue?
Yeah.
Tell me why. I shouldn't. I won't. Joe.
So my pick is a little bit of a cheat in that I would have to like catch up on, I think, a full season before I continued anyway, but I won't be doing that with The Fosters, even though I do think on balance, it's a good show. It's a show that the good things about it got irreparably like taken, like overshadowed for me by the fact that they had to keep putting Brandon and Callie back into these like fraught will they or won't they situations.
Yes.
Which I know is because the like ABC Family teen audience like demands it. And yet it's just a reminder that like, okay, ultimately then this show is not for me. This show is for chippers and I don't want to be one of that. It's not only just like gross on like, they're foster siblings, but also just like it grinds the show to a halt in when it could be going in many other more interesting and better direction. So Fosters, I loved you. I loved a lot of you. I didn't love the thing that apparently everybody else loved about it. So
I have a question, Joe. What's a chipper? Yes.
Shipper.
Oh, shipper. Oh, okay. I know what a shipper is. Moving on. <Yes.
laughs> A chipper is a murderous shipper.
Also a baseball player, I believe. All right. Mine, both are shows that that I watched a lot of season one last summer, and they kind of I drifted away from them both before the season was over. And those are Mr. Robot and Aquarius. Mr. Robot is one where I assume I can talk about the quote twist unquote by now.
Yeah.
The fact that it was like, it's this one of those shows where it's like, we don't know how much of it is real because the lead character is not a reliable narrator. Like, I can't, I have things to do. I can't be trying to hold your feet to the fire in terms of your honesty. Like, I don't care to unravel this mystery. Like, just be more, like, mystery, whatever. But if you're supposed to be watching the show and like questioning like literally every frame of everything that's happening where this character is in, it's like, nobody got time for this shit. The other
and it really was like, I totally agree with you. Like, I probably will still be covering it at previously.tv, but first of all, I'm not sure where they're going to go with it.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Second of all, maybe it's that he's jonesing for drugs and maybe it's reality. Can we take a break from that for a period of 24 to 36 months? Yeah. Thank you.
To Dave's point, that makes the show, the premise itself, less interesting. If he were just crazy as opposed to also a drug addict, that would be something.
Yeah. Be crazy. But
also
the acting, I felt, was really good.
Yeah.
So you almost didn't notice how annoying it was that this just kept going.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I support you.
Dave, what were you going to say?
But don't discount that your central premise is actually interesting.
Right.
The idea of identity and privacy in the internet age, mm-hmm. and big data and how it's all going to kind of come to a head, and it has the potential to be very 1984-y, is actually an interesting point. And I feel like it was a couple too many layers on top of that, and it really I hope in the second season, I was talking about this because this is one of my alternative picks for something.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But that they can strip away a couple of those layers and kind of get to the meat of the subject matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a little convoluted.
There is an endemic problem in TV series pitching, I feel, and writing, in that sometimes the showrunners don't know or don't trust or can't sell an idea that on one level is enough. Yeah. And then they have to add all this other shit. Another example is The Girlfriend Experience, which I know I'm the only one who's watching it. It's a good show, but the idea of watching this character navigate this world that she's gotten into, which is prostitution, and then on top of that, she also has a job as a clerk or an intern at a law firm, and then there's this whole thing with these two lawyers are colluding on a case. I don't fucking give a shit about that. Keep your legal shit out of my prostitute drama. Or on Jane the Virgin.
I have a nickel.
On Jane the Virgin, they keep having this thing with the drug lord plot line. The relationships among the people are interesting enough. I don't know why you think you have to have a police investigation on top of this fascinating relationship show, but I don't care about anything Michael ever does at work. Stop it. Anyway, speaking of not caring about police shit, Aquarius. This was one that I co-covered with Sarah and Eve Beatty at previously.tv in season one, because NBC did that thing where they dropped the whole season at once. And so we did a mini swarm on it. And I think the last episode I covered was two before the end. And then I was oh, I don't have to watch these last two. I'm not going to. And I never did. So I can't believe that NBC renewed it, but I will not be joining it. That is mine. Dave.
All right. So, Sarah, I totally I'm almost there with you on Orphan Black. The only thing keeping me around this season has been the ascendancy of Donnie as a character. They're using a lot more.
Yeah. Donnie's great.
But another show I'm just going to mention, which will be my actual pick, I feel like it's run its course for the concept it has. They're basically now in round two of ever-increasing evil layers of the corporation. What's the corporation behind the corporation? Oh no, it's a little bit worse. And then after
it's a syndicate.
Yeah. Oh no, now it's a cabal. Uh-oh. That's the trajectory of Orphan Black. So I feel like they should hurry up, give Tatsulani her Emmy.
Tatsulani, that's her name now. Tatiana Meslani.
Yeah.
You made her four months ago with her own two names.
Look, we're running long. give her Emmy so we can shut this thing down before it spirals ever further down. And the show that I feel like shares a lot with that for me is a show I probably would drop, other than I think we'll probably end up watching it for the show, is Orange is the New Black. I feel is a show where a lot of the characters have run their course, their storylines have sort of come to endings or have run out of interest, and save a sort of just wholesale character replacement, have them leave prison and have new ones come in,
which they could do, and I don't know why they don't.
They could do, and they should do.
Yes,
and
agreed.
The first person to go obviously can't be Piper, and and see where the show goes. If the show had a different main thrust, a different point of view, a different nexus,
yeah,
that it could be interesting, but yeah. It's not.
No, agree.
So that is my choice. So that is it for the TV summer roundup. And we'll see you next year. Bye. We're gone forever.
May 14th, 2016, yesterday as we record this, was the 10th anniversary of the last episode of The West Wing, if you can even believe it. It's the perfect time, then, for the release of a new book about the show, Walk With Us, How the West Wing Changed Our Lives. It's an anthology of quotes and essays by fans about the impact of the show on their lives, professional, personal, relational, creative, even spiritual. Claire Hanscom, the editor of the anthology, moved from Europe to D.C. in 2012 to pursue an MFA in creative writing at American University, inspired in large part by the show. It's available now on Nook, Kobo, and iBooks, and it will soon be available on Kindle and in paperback. For more information, you can visit thewestwingchangedme.com, facebook.com/westwingbook, or at @WWChangedMe on Twitter. Here's one of Claire's favorite quotes from a contributor named Erica Harmon. Quote, "The West Wing is the American fairy tale, and we are drawn to its knights because we can see our reflections gleaming from their tarnished armor." End quote. That's Walk With Us, How the West Wing Changed Our Lives. Order your copy, and maybe one for your goldfish Gale, today.
All right, it is time to go around the dial. We're going to start with Tara Ariando. Tara.
Let's talk about Catfish. The mid-season finale aired on Wednesday, this past Wednesday, that just and then the show will be back for the last half of season 5 in August at some point. This half a season has had a lot of very predictable episodes where it's like it's someone that you knew all along who's pretending to be someone else to trick you, and then a couple that were fucking bananas. So, Sarah, my dear Sarah,
Frankie Sweet Music, bless your heart,
covered the episode that was like the perfect storm of true crime, ghosts, and catfish, and it is
ghosts.
Yeah, oh, yeah. There was okay. a medium yeah. who was saying that this girl's dead father had contacted her, and so they started a relationship.
Catfish goes.
This post is already the number one post on previously.tv for the year. Like this episode has caught fire like you wouldn't believe. Kayla and Courtney, check it out. But the episode that they closed on, in some ways, it's like very classic Catfish. It's like the person is tricking a guy because she's insecure because she's overweight. But the twist is that the guy supposedly wrote into the show, did not write into the show at all. I'm sure it was the girl, because he was still getting so many messages from his online ex-girlfriend that his real life girlfriend dumped him supposedly 5 days before the show filmed, which I doubt it. But then it turns out that actually the reason that this other girl can't let go is because he's been sexting her this whole time. So clearly what was going on is that he was hoping that after his real girlfriend dumped him, he would get to go and meet his online girlfriend, and then they could pick up together and he could be happy with this other girl. And like, that's not what happened. And also, I just want to give a shout out to the best part of the episode, which was after they confront the faker and she says, "Don't act like you were so innocent. You did shit too." And he's like, "What?" And then she said, "He texted me that he was holding his rock hard cock." Like, okay, this just this turned the corner. He tried to deny it, kind of, but not really. And then Neve, as I wrote in my post, tries to cool things down by making a connection with Vince. And I quote, "Don't pretend, and I won't either, that you're holier than any other guy ever. We're all the same here, okay?" And then Max Whoa. Is like, "Time out. I don't do that." And Max is the star of the episode, and he like holds this guy's feet to the fire, and then Neve has to totally backtrack and be like, "Yeah, totally. I don't do that either. I'm not gross." Anyway, Max is probably going to leave the show. I know that it's coming. Like, he's having a real career as a director, and I actually watched his movie last night. It was not terrible. But I know that whenever he leaves the show, I'm going to keep watching it and hating myself because I will miss him so much. Max has become so, so, so the best part of Catfish, and it's the shittiest thing that I watch every week and love. So that is my report on Catfish Season 5A. And I want to plug my coverage of, speaking of shows that are on Wednesday that I cover, The Americans, which is getting toward the end of its fourth season. Season 4 of The Americans has been so, so, so good. really twisty and exciting and yet not so convoluted that you can't keep track. And you can watch my or read my coverage of it every week on previously.tv.
Moving on to Kim.
Okay.
Sorry, okay, did I scare you?
I just was like, what is that sound? Am I supposed to do something? Okay, anyway, sorry. So I wanted to talk about Survivor because this week we are heading into the season finale for season 32, yeah. Believe it or not.
Yep.
I know. And I know, you know, I watch, and this has been a great season, despite
this season,
right? Before the season, Probst, you know, usually he goes in the media and is all, this season's fantastic and all this great stuff's going to happen. And this season, he kind of went preseason hype, not at all, the opposite of that, where he was like, well, it's all right. They filmed the season before actually the most recent season that aired. They're airing them out of order from when they filmed them. So I don't know if that had something to do with his lack of excitement. It had been so long, he forgot. I don't know.
Kim, can I float you a theory?
Yes.
My Survivor friends and I sort of figured this out.
Yes.
I think Jeff is less enthusiastic about the seasons where
because
women
ladies.
Win.
Yes. Yes.
So the final four is three women and a gay guy. Of course, Jeff Probst isn't going to be excited about it.
Like, I did think of that the other night when I was, you know, laying in bed thinking about Survivor. There's been three medevacs this season. It's been one of the toughest physical seasons that we've seen in a long time. And you know, usually I don't like a season with medevacs because it kind of, you know, just messes. It's not a strategy thing if someone collapses and has to be evacuated, which has happened. But the contestants have been remarkably flexible. And I hope that this ushers in a new era of contestants who actually understand the show instead of what usually happens, which is about half of the contestants are just sort of fodder for the mill who just sort of fall along the wayside because they don't really know what the hell's going on. And the actual strategy doesn't start until the merge, at least. And this season, the strategy started much earlier than that. As far as this season goes, I'm kind of fine with anybody but Ty, who's the one left winning at this point. I'm not looking forward to some of the super blowhardy jury speeches that I'm sure we're going to hear because there were some super blowhards on that jury. I also wanted to see if Joe or anybody else had anything to add about the season of Survivor as we head into the finale.
I've really loved it so far, too. I'm glad you did. I saw it on the dock and I was like, oh, well, Kim's either going to be like really pro or really con, and I'm not quite sure. I've really liked it. I think these last few people are really likable. I'm rooting for Aubrey, but I think if Sydney or Michelle win, I would be really happy with that, too. They all seem really smart and capable and did not have any compunction about getting rid of the big, tough guys, even after the guys were like, well, maybe we'll just stop cooking for getting food for you, or like maybe we'll put out the fire. And like, how do you like that? And then the one Sydney was just like, OK, I'll build another fire. Like, what do you want me to do? It was great. It was really fun.
Yeah. And also, this is the first season in a while that has not had any returning contestants.
Right.
No previous contestants returned. There was a guy from Big Brother, but no Survivor contestants returned. So that's always fun to just sort of get a fresh slate. I'm not anti-returning Survivor contestants, but it was kind of nice to have just a 100% clean slate to start the season.
Replenish the well.
And for those of us who don't watch Survivor anymore, I just want to say it is fun to shit on Jeff Probst still. So whenever he comes up, he's been a subject of a lot of my minis having to do with like setting people up for failure.
Uh-huh.
And he's kind of my go-to because he just seems like the kind of guy who deserves it now and forever.
Yeah.
And he looks so confident and smug all the time. Yeah. So you just want to knock him down a peg.
Yeah.
One last thing about Jeff Probst that happened that you wouldn't see because you don't watch the show. I can't remember if it was the last episode or the one before, but there was a challenge where he was just ranking on this girl, Sydney, who was last. I mean, really harsh about like Sydney dead last, Sydney no chance at all. And then she came back and totally won the challenge because it was sort of a slow but steady situation. Wins the race. It was awesome. Yeah. In your face, Jeff Probst.
He didn't take credit for it.
The eye of the tiger by shitting on her all the time.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Anything to pitch, Kim?
Plug. Anything to plug?
Plug.
Yeah, or pitch if you want.
I am covering. I just finished covering Scandal, which I we'll be talking about momentarily. Yep. For previously.tv, I'm also covering SNL and finishing up, yes, it's still going, Dancing with the Stars.
Who's winning this year, Kim?
I don't know. I guess it's a good thing that it's really a toss-up. Like, there's so many people that could be Ginger Z, it could be Wanye, it could be Niall. I mean, it really could be anybody at this point. Mm. So I guess that's exciting, but also kind of I don't have anybody to root for.
And to bring it all together, what kind of terrible confluence would it be if Jeff Probst was on Dancing with the Stars? How awesome would that be?
I'd love to make fun of him, but I guess so that would be good. Yeah. But other than
wreck.
That.
Such a train wreck. All right.
Joe Reed. So before I get to my thing, Tara, in one of the earlier segments, you just sort of like casually tossed off the phrase, ain't nobody got time for that, which reminded me that on the, I think it was either 2 weeks ago on Black-ish or maybe even before that, because I've been catching up, they had Jennifer Lewis, who plays the grandmother, say, ain't nobody got time for that, like twice in the same episode, which was totally intentional.
Yeah.
Because when that thing became a meme, like that woman does bear a passing resemblance to Jennifer Lewis. And I was like, oh, they're making this like a thing and it's really cool. But then did you see the thing last week where it was like that Vine video of Jennifer Lewis and the two other women singing the song to Ain't Nobody Got Time for That?
Yep.
Yeah.
So fucking good. Yeah. So funny. I find her so delightful. She's so great on that show.
I do too.
So you brought this, as soon as I heard that, I was just like, I got to remember to mention that. It was so good. The season finale of Scandal was last week, and I know I mentioned several weeks ago about how the show had gotten good again, so I thought I'd check in with how the season ended. It did a little bit of a disappointing convergence of the parts that I liked and the parts that I didn't and made them all one thing. So it sort of got a little peanut butter in my chocolate in that way. And I was just like, yeah, okay. they still need to just kill off two or three characters and it would be perfect. I think they've gone to the Papa Pope well far too many times. At this point, he's just like unbeatable Satan villain where it's just like, and even in the story, they're just like, I don't understand why anybody's running for president against the guy that he's backing because he's totally going to steal in the election.
And it's a friend of mine called him Dad Sputin last week. Yeah. Totally like,
but it's one of those things, if you watch daytime soap operas, though, it's one of those things where you would totally be thinking, oh, they're setting up a murder mystery plot where everybody hates him so much that he's going to turn up like dead with like a candlestick next to him or whatever. And somebody's going to be like, who killed Papa Pope? And it would be like, the suspects are any number of 12 people
with a rope.
Yeah, exactly. It was like that end of the one season of Soap where they're like, who killed the tennis pro? Was it Jessica? Was it blah blah? So they just need to kill him off, and they didn't at the end of the season, so it's kind of too bad. They did sort of like have, they're trying to do this thing where it's just like, oh, Olivia's becoming just as bad as him. Olivia would need to kill like 200 more people before she becomes just as bad as him.
It is interesting that they
seriously, it is interesting that they've set up a presidential election showdown where both of the vice president candidates are actual murderers, so that's fun. It's
the
Melly
last election,
versus
all
the guy
of the presidential
played...
candidates were murderers.
Yes.
Well, somehow they got Melly there, where it's just like, at least Melly hasn't murdered anyone yet, although she's like indirectly like passed along information that led to people getting killed, but on this show that's like positively innocent. So I'll be interested to see how that goes next year, whether they'll actually like elect Melly president. Knowing this show, it could be somebody completely off of the canvas at this point, because like there's no actual like timetables for anything, which is part of the charm of it in that it does get so crazy. But it's still probably one or two sort of like well-chosen character deaths away from becoming truly great. But again, because I do think it was great at one point. But it's very watchable, I find, especially in, you let like three or four episodes build up on the DVR and you just sort of watch them some like Saturday morning when you're not doing anything else, and it all sort of blends together, but you're just like, wow, that was fucked up, and like that's kind of cool. So that,
all right. Yeah, I, with the caveat that, as we all know, when you cover a show, you tend to start hating the show because you have to watch it so much and analyze and blah blah, break it down, so I'm not as high as you on the show at this point, but I do appreciate that they have backgrounded Fitz as a character the second half of the season. I mean, he's barely had a role on the show at all.
Yeah.
I don't think that I buy this, the finale where he suddenly got woke and is like, yeah, I have been a dick to the women in my life. I don't buy it. I mean, I believe that that's what the writers want us to think. But it just seemed very sudden and out of nowhere and that sort of thing. I also still like Scandal because I feel like it brings up secretly on top, like it has all this crazy stuff going on, but then underneath there, it brings up these issues about like the fact that Liv had an abortion and she's like, I'm not ashamed of that. And yeah. I don't think there's many network shows that would let their main character have an abortion and also not be ashamed of it.
Also, they had a rant on their Donald Trump analog character where like Norm Lewis basically just like went on for like 7 minutes about just like up and hill and down the hill about why this Trump character was full of shit. And it was just like, OK, Sean has got some shit to say and I will listen because it was great. It was really good.
Yeah, I said in my article that that was the writer's reward for having to write the Donald Trump character and all that horrible shit.
Totally
and then
agree.
They got to write that rant telling everybody why he's so terrible.
It
so,
was like the Dixie Carter compromise where it's just like, all right, I'm going to say all this liberal shit, but then I'm going to get to sing a song. So
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think the show is still certainly watchable. And I agree if I could just sort of watch it in the background, I probably would like it a lot better. I think it's still doing some really good things and some interesting things. I just am not as high on it because, like you said, they got to get rid of Papa Pope. I feel like at this point, Jake's got to go. I'm shocked that they did not kill him in the finale.
They should have.
Because I thought Scott Foley was going off to do some other show. He's like producing a show under the Shondaland. Anyway, so I figured he was a goner.
He should be a lead on something else.
Like, yeah. This has been a great career move for him. Now he can go and do something else because there's nothing left for him to do on the show. So get rid of him. Get rid of Huck, Quinn, sure. All of them. Just keep like three people. I'm happy. Move on with the election. People involved in the election can stay. Everybody else go.
Yep.
Agreed.
All right. Anything to pitch? Pitch or?
Plug.
Oh. Yeah. Go to decider.com. I had an interview with the Real O'Neill star, Noah Galvin. A part of that interview went up on Friday. The rest of it will go up at some point this week. The Real O'Neill's got picked up for season 2, and he was understandably very happy about that. And he talked about a bunch of other stuff. Aww. So it was very cool.
Cute.
All right. Take us home, sir.
Because apparently a week can't go by without someone telling y'all to watch Happy Valley. Now it's my turn. I finally like decided to start watching it because so many people on the show had been like, yeah, it's really good. And it is amazing, but it is really tough. Like it's really tough stuff. As Nick Reinwald Jones said, it's not happy. There are some valleys. It's not happy. But it's really amazingly done. There's some like early Downton people that it'll like, it's fun to be like, where do I know that voice from? Where do I know that timbre from? And because they're styled so differently, you don't realize who it is for a while. It's cast exceptionally well. It's paced exceptionally well. There is a little like Sixth Sense-y flashback PTSD thing that has started to happen in the middle of series 1 to the main character that I don't love it. I don't think the show needs it. But you know, every rose has its thorn, I guess. No, I'm not going to sing. So yeah, I definitely recommend it, but it is brutal. But it just reminds me what I really love about European TV and movies, which is they don't put a shit ton of makeup on people who would not normally be wearing it, like provincial police officers. And they cast people who look like people and not like they were extruded in a lab. So I recommend, but not if you are in a bad mood, because it's not going to help. And my plug is for my coverage of Law & Order SVU. We are winding up season 17. It has been renewed. I have to say that this season has been an improvement, in my opinion.
Yeah.
William Lewis has stayed dead. They have gone to, like, there has been a lot of taking it personally and a lot of, like, Liv's son Noah and stuff like that. But they did finally get Liv together with Robert John Burks, Lieutenant Tucker. And I am so here for it now and forever. I hope they get married. It has really improved. The, like, new couple of cast members that they've got have, like, they're solid additions to the cast. And I think they are taking themselves, or at least Liv is taking herself, a little less seriously this year. Every time I say that, then we like go off the deep end with her being like home invaded in someone else's brownstone.
Yeah,
but yeah, like knock wood, the last, I'm not sure how many episodes we have left as of this writing.
Couple.
One or two.
Yeah, one or two.
So let's hope that it's not going to give the lie to my words, but you can see the SVU show-o-matics on previously.tv. And also earlier in the year, I ranked all of Liv's potential love interests, and I was pleased that my prediction came true. And you can also read that at previously.tv in our SVU section.
Nice. As of this month, Angie Green and her boyfriend John have been together 9 years, but have been friends for much longer.
John introduced Angie to so many amazing TV shows like The Wire, Deadwood, Happy Endings, and Buffy. John also ruined the West Wing for Angie by being the first one to verbalize what a misogynistic prick Aaron Sorkin is, so sometimes he breaks the things that she loves.
But Extra Hot Great was Angie's first, which is her own tiny triumph, and now they each look forward to Liv's face-off updates, dissecting canon submissions, injurious laughter is worse than jazz, and no-knack music, and Sarah rightly ordering fucking Brandon Walsh to eat a bee or 10,000.
Even though John would kick Angie's ass every week at game time, he's her best friend and the most stylish wearer of Hawaiian shirts this side of the Pacific. He loves puns, puppies, Angie's cats, now that we live together, and Angie, who considers herself a pretty lucky girl.
So happy anniversary to the Jimmy Jr. to Angie's Tina Belcher. If not for you, this is probably how Angie would sound all the time.
I was so excited about John's anniversary that I could not find the clip. That means it is time for the canon. Kimberly, take it away.
Okay, settle in. So this is two episodes, so I tried to cut it down as much as I could and make it short, but, you know, it's two episodes. So it's been almost 12 years since the pilot for Lost aired, and I think the excitement generated by the show's concept in its first few seasons get forgotten because so many viewers stop watching when things got ridiculous or repetitive or just plain dumb at times. But that doesn't mean that the beginning was bad. In fact, it was first rate, and that's why I'm nominating Lost Season 1, Episodes 1 and 2 for the canon. First, a confession. I was semi-secretly a huge Lost fangirl, and I didn't realize how much that was true until I rewatched. But I used to go to the ABC website and read the Lost diaries. Some poor intern had to write like they were one of the survivors on the island, and I used to comb them for clues. I used to rewatch every episode in my classroom after classes were over for the day on the projector so I could really get a glimpse in case there was some clue that I was missing. After the first season finale, I remember sitting down at a desk and handwriting a list of probably about 50 questions that I had about what would happen next, and walking into my coworker's office and slapping it on his desk like I was Martin Luther nailing the theses to the door. You all didn't know this about me, right?
No,
so I think,
but I love
I think
it.
The reason lost, I didn't consider ends. Myself a fangirl is because I feel like everybody who watched the show was this obsessed. Like, we were all this obsessed with the show in that first season. The first season was all promise and potential and what the fuckery. And it all starts with the opening scene. And just to note, if you were a first-time viewer to the show, you wouldn't know the characters' names, but I'm just going to use the characters' names because otherwise it gets super confusing. So, the opening scene features Jack waking up in the jungle, confused and disoriented. He runs out onto the beach. He sees the smoldering wreckage of Oceanic Flight 815, along with various survivors running around and non-survivors being dead. So he turns on doctor mode, starts treating the engine or the injured. There's chaos. One guy gets sucked into an engine and the engine explodes. It's awesome. It's captivating. And you, like Jack, you're like, what is going on? And once things calm down, Jack heads into the jungle to tend to a wound on his back, but he can't reach it. Kate wanders by, rubbing her wrists, and we get our first clip.
Excuse me. Did you ever use a needle?
What?
Did you ever patch a pair of jeans?
I made the drapes in my apartment.
That's fantastic. Listen, do you have a second? I could use a little help here.
With what?
With this. Look, I do it myself. I'm a doctor, but I just can't reach
you. You can sew that up.
It's just like the drapes. Same
no,
thing.
No, with the drapes, it's a sewing machine.
No, you can do this. I'm telling you. If you wouldn't mind.
Of course I will.
Thank you. much for your hand. Now save me some for the wound.
Any color preference?
Standard black.
Okay, so these are arguably the two main characters of the series, at least in the early going. And a bunch of things are established just in this conversation. It confirms that Jack is a doctor, that he's capable of submerging his feelings and pain to follow social graces. He's very polite. He puts the needs of the group. He went out and helped other people before he worried about himself. You could also argue that proves that he's a martyr. Kate is brave, but also scared or possibly hiding something. But she is willing to help people. And there's a little bit of flirting at the end with the thread color choice, and they laugh with one another. The next part of the episode consists of a lot of vignettes to give you information about the various characters. For example, Sawyer lights a cigarette, so you know he's the bad guy who never thinks about tomorrow. Saeed builds a signal fire because he's practical and has survival skills. And then there's this exchange that tells you everything you know need to know at this point about Shannon and Boone, our next clip.
As if I'm going to start eating chocolate.
Shannon, we may be here for a while.
The plane had a black box, idiot. They know exactly where we are. They're coming. I'll eat on the rescue boat. I'll eat on the rescue boat.
So not all of these vignettes are subtle, but think about it. The writers had every excuse to do these introductions in the hackiest way possible. They could have had the characters sit in a circle and go around and give short bios and backgrounds, because that's something that people in this situation might actually do. If I were writing it, it's probably what I would do, which is why I don't write fiction. But instead, we just get little moments with various characters that tell us a whole lot about each of them. I can't detail every single one or we'd be here all night, but there are many. And once viewers get comfortable with some of the characters, then we get a conversation about what in the hell happened to these people between Jack and Kate in our next clip.
We must have been at about 40,000 feet when it happened. We hit an air pocket, and dropped maybe 200 feet. The turbulence was... I blacked out.
I didn't. I saw the whole thing. I knew that the tail was gone, but I couldn't bring myself to look back. And then the front end of the plane broke off.
Well, it's not here on the beach. Neither is the tail. We need to figure out which way we came in.
Why?
Because there's a chance we could find the cockpit. If it's intact, we might be able to find a transceiver. We could send out a signal, help the rescue party find us.
How do you know all that?
Took a couple flying lessons. Wasn't for me.
I saw some smoke. Through the valley. If you're thinking about going for the cockpit, I'm going with you.
I don't know your name.
I'm Kate.
Jack.
So that crazy noise there at the end was the introduction of what would come to be known as the smoke monster. But at that point, all we knew was there was something huge and really fucked up in the jungle, and it sounded really pissed off. And it just sort of added to the what in the hell is going on here aspect of the show at this point. So after a quick flashback to Jack on the plane before it crashed, where you get to play the always fun Lost game of seeing how the various characters interacted before they came to the island. It's dawn of the second day, and Kate and Jack are, as just discussed, getting ready to hunt down the nose of the plane, which broke off, to try to get the transceiver. And just before they leave, is one of my favorite scenes of the entire series. Locke smiles at Kate and he has an orange in his mouth. Mm-hmm. And it just is emblematic of the feelings that you get from the show at this point. Was he being playful? Is he a freaking weirdo? Was he doing a Marlon Brando impersonation? At this point in the series, we don't know, and all possibilities are open. So Charlie gloms onto the group of Kate and Jack, which is good because he brings some sorely needed comic relief. And as they hike, Charlie and Kate have this conversation, our next clip.
Can I ask you something?
Me? I'd be thrilled. I've been waiting.
Have you ever met anywhere?
No. That would be unlikely. I look familiar, though, right?
Yeah.
Can't quite place it.
No, I can't.
Yeah, I think I know.
You do?
You all, everybody! You all, everybody! You never heard that song?
I've heard it, I just don't know what the
That's
hell
That's us! Has... Drive Shaft. Look, the ring. Second tour of Finland. You never heard of Drive Shaft?
The band.
Yeah, the band.
You were in Drive Shaft.
I am in Drive Shaft. I play bass.
Serious?
Yeah. Charlie. Track three, you know, I do backing vocals.
My friend Beth would freak. She loved you guys.
Give me Beth's number. I'll call her. I'd love to. Does she live nearby?
You ever heard of Drive Shaft?
You all, everybody. You all, everybody.
We got to keep moving.
You're good.
They are good. Still together. We're in the middle of a comeback.
So even though this does fall into that semi-hacky introduction category I was talking about earlier, it still cracks me up. It always cracks me up when Charlie sings. And he has been dying for someone to recognize him, you know, and he's just so excited about this moment. And then Jack comes up and is just like, shrug, we got to go. So I don't know, it made me laugh. So after a harrowing sequence where Jack, Kate, and Charlie travel through the pouring rain and find the nose of the plane, scale their way up to the cockpit, search for the transceiver. So Kate leans across the dead pilot's body, but the pilot isn't dead. He wakes up. And I have to give props to Greg Grunberg for one of the best resurrection gasps I've ever heard. So when he finally is able to speak, the pilot, this happens, our next clip.
How many survive?
At least 48. Say they feel broken.
No, no. My head's a little dizzy, that's all.
Yeah. It's probably a concussion.
How long has it been?
16 hours.
16. Has anybody come?
Not yet.
Six hours in. Our radio went out. No one could see us. We turned back to land in Fiji. By the time we hit turbulence, we were 1,000 miles off course. They're looking for us in the wrong place.
So in case you were thinking, oh, they'll probably, I mean, you weren't because it's a series, but if you were thinking, oh, maybe they'll get rescued soon, they ain't getting rescued soon. And not only that, but they're stuck on the island with this weird monster that's super noisy and pissed off. And he, guess who shows up right then? It's the monster. And Jack, Kate, and Charlie hide, but the pilot is like, hey, what's that? And he looks out the windshield, gets snatched up by the monster, and then blood splashes across the windshield. So that you know, yeah, that was not good. Charlie, Kate, and Jack take off running. They get separated. Evangeline Lilly hides in a tree. I feel like they use this clip for every promo before the show started airing, where she counts to five to try to deal with her fear. But I think her acting is so good here. She really looked terrified. And I don't know, I couldn't do it. So I'm always impressed when people can really portray an emotion like that. Once they all get back together, they find the pilot's flayed body really high up in a tree. So now we know for sure that that smoke monster is not fooling around. And so do our survivors. And that's the end of the first episode. So we have the basics about what happened, but there's still a lot of questions left. So we'll move on. So Jack, Kate, and Charlie return to camp with the transceiver. Oh. Sorry.
Episode two.
That's okay. My husband was always annoyed by that opening because there's clipping on the letter S when it comes through. Anyway, He's a video game nerd. So Jack, Kate, and Charlie return to camp with the transceiver, which isn't working. They find Saeed and Sawyer fighting on the beach because Walt found some handcuffs in the jungle. And now they all assume there was a prisoner on the plane. And Sawyer assumes that it was Saeed because he's brown. Sawyer really comes off looking like an asshole. And I forgot how much of a dick he was in this first few episodes. But he was so pretty. I also forgot that. So anyway, Saeed says he can fix the transceiver, and Hurley joins him for a bitch sesh in our next clip.
Chain-smoking jackass.
Some people have problems.
Some people have problems. Us. Him. You're okay. I like you.
You're okay, too.
Hurley. Oh, just...
Saeed.
How do you know how to do all that?
I was a military communications officer.
Oh, yeah? You ever see battle?
I fought in the Gulf War.
No way. I got a buddy who fought over there. He was in the 104th Airborne. What are you, Air Force? Army?
The Republican Guard.
So this just shows that, you know, Hurley thinks this is a good guy. He's not a criminal, but he also was on the opposing side of a war that the United States fought. Doesn't necessarily make him a bad guy, but people are more complicated than we might think. So Saeed gets the transceiver working, but he can't get a signal. He suggests moving to higher ground, and Kate wants to join him. And meanwhile, Jack's working on a guy who's been unconscious since the crash. He has shrapnel embedded in his leg. And Kate goes over to explain the plan to him in our next clip.
How is he? Can you do anything?
Pull out the shrapnel.
She said yesterday that if you took it out.
I know, but that was yesterday. I was hoping he'd be at a hospital by now. If I leave him like this, he'll be dead within a day. If I open him up, if I can control the bleeding, and if he doesn't go into sepsis, and if I can find some antibiotics, he might be all right.
I'm going on a hike.
Sorry?
Saeed fixed the transceiver, but we can't use it. Not from here.
Kate, wait a minute.
You're the one who said that we had to send out a signal.
Look, you saw what that thing did to the pilot.
Yeah, I did. What makes you think we're any safer here than we are in the jungle?
Wait for me. I don't know how
Saeed
long this will
said
take.
The battery won't last.
See or hear anything. Anything. Run.
I had to laugh because, oh, that's great advice, Jack. Run? I wouldn't have thought of that one on my own. But Kate seems really interested in the fate of that patient. And just as an aside, guys, if we're ever all in a plane crash together and I've been unconscious for like a day and I have shrapnel embedded in me, just smother me with a pillow. Like, don't even try to bring me back. I don't want to. So I know Tara would probably feel the same way.
Agreed.
Especially if there's no rescue coming anytime soon and a friggin' monster in the woods. So Jack seems to have a bit of a hero complex, like every surgeon on TV. Thinks that he has all the answers. That certainly will come up again in the series. Meanwhile, Locke is setting up a game of backgammon when the kid Walt sees him, and we get our next clip.
What is it like, checkers?
Not really. It's a better game than checkers. You play checkers with your pop?
No. I live in Australia with my mom.
You have no accent.
Yeah, I know. We move a lot. She got sick. She died a couple of weeks ago.
You're having a bad month.
I guess.
Backgammon's the oldest game in the world. Archaeologists found sets when they excavated the ruins of ancient Mesopotamia. 5,000 years old. That's older than Jesus Christ.
Did they have dice and stuff? Yeah.
But theirs weren't made of plastic. Their dice were made of bones.
Cool.
Two players, two sides. One is light, one is dark. Walt. Do you want to know a secret?
We have to go back, Gammon.
So we never do find out what he tells Walt in that secret, but it establishes that Walt and Locke have some kind of a kinship, a meeting of the minds. Locke knows a lot about history. He's like President Bartlett, and then he likes to talk about it. And if I recall correctly, that black and white, light and dark bit actually comes back around in the final season. They certainly use that clip again. So meanwhile, Kate and Saeed have been joined by Boone, Shannon, Charlie, and Sawyer to seek out higher ground so they can try to get a signal on the transceiver. They bicker while they're hiking until they hear a roar and something rushing toward them. Everyone scatters except Sawyer, who stands his ground and shoots the attacking animal until it drops. And when they all come back to see what it was, we get our next clip.
It's a big bear.
You think that's what killed the pilot?
No. No, that's a tiny, teeny version compared to that.
Guys, this isn't just a bear. It's a polar bear.
Hey, look, I know everybody's been through a lot, but can somebody put the bear out of its misery?
Seriously.
I was thinking that too. Like, one more bullet or, you know, smother just, it or, yeah, like, hold its mouth shut or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor guy. But meanwhile, you know, we'll talk more about the polar bear in a second, but it was another one of those what the fuck moments where you were just like, what is going on? Where are they? These episodes do a great job of giving you a little bit of humor to balance out what could be a really bleak and hopeless situation. Like I said, where I would commit suicide or ask for assisted suicide. meanwhile, Jack's preparing to do surgery on his patient, and he asks Hurley to help. And Hurley wants to make sure that the patient is actually out in our next clip.
You sure he's out?
He's out.
How do you know he won't wake up when you yank that thing up?
I don't.
Hey, guy, you awake?
Yo, there's a rescue plane. We're saved. Yay!
Yeah, he's out.
I don't know. That cracked me up, so I had to include it. But back to the polar bear situation. The group discusses what's going on and maybe more importantly, where Sawyer got that gun in our next clip.
That can't be a polar bear.
It's a polar bear. Wait a minute. Polar bears don't usually live in the jungle.
Spot on.
No, polar bears don't live near this far, sir. This one does.
Did. It did.
Where did that come from?
Probably Bear Village. How the hell do I know?
Not the bear, the gun.
I got it off one of the bodies.
One of the bodies?
Yeah, one of the bodies.
People don't carry guns on planes.
They do if they're a U.S. Marshal, sweet cheeks. There was one on the plane.
How do you know that?
I saw a guy lying there with an ankle holster, so I took the gun. Thought it might come in handy. Guess what? I just shot a bear!
So why do you think he's a marshal?
Because he had a clip-on badge. I took that, too. Thought it was cool.
I know who you are. You're the prisoner.
I'm the what?
You found a gun on a U.S. Marshal? Yes, I believe you did. You knew where it was because you were the one he was bringing back to the States. Those handcuffs were on you. That's how you knew there was a gun.
That's
who you are, you son of a
bitch. Be as suspicious of me as I am of you.
But you are the prisoner.
Fine. I'm the criminal. You're the terrorist. We can all play a part. Who you want to be?
Does anybody know how to use a gun?
I think you just pull the trigger.
Don't use the gun.
I want to take it apart.
There's a button on the grip. Push that, it will eject the magazine. There's still a round in the chamber. Hold the grip, pull the top part of the gun.
type.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, even with girls like you.
My girl's exactly like me.
All right, so first, let me talk about the polar bear for a second. If you had asked me to name 100 animals that I thought the survivors might have encountered on this island, polar bear wouldn't even have made the list. So seeing one just added to the general sense from these episodes of what in the hell is going on here? Is there a real world explanation? Is this science fiction? Did a wizard do it? And second, Kate's kind of a badass. She totally takes that gun off Sawyer and turns it around on him, even though she claims that she doesn't know how to remove the ammo. Future events give me some doubts to that. But anyway, the next flashback gives us more information about Kate. Turns out she's the one who's the criminal. She was traveling with the unconscious patient, who's a marshal, escorting her back to the States. The episode ends with the hikers finally reaching high enough ground that Saeed's able to get a signal on the transceiver. Everyone runs over to him, and we hear our last clip. This one's a little bit long, but I wanted to get it all in there.
Mayday! Mayday!
What is that?
Feedback.
Feedback from what? What would do that?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what would do that. This guy not fixing a radio. The thing doesn't even work.
No. It's not broken. We can't transmit because something else is already transmitted.
Transmitting from where?
What?
Somewhere close. The signal's strong.
Somewhere close? You mean on the island? That's great.
Maybe to the survivors.
From our plane? How would
what
that
kind
even...
of transmission is?
It could be a sat phone, maybe a radio signal.
Can we listen to it?
Let me get the frequency first. Hold on.
There's no transmission.
Shut up!
The rescue party. It has to be. It's French! The French are coming! I've never been so happy to hear the French!
I never took French. What is she saying?
Does anyone speak French?
She does.
No, I don't. What?
What the hell are you talking about? You spent a year in Paris?
Drinking, not studying.
Information 7 2 9 4 5 3
okay.
1.
What's that? Oh, no.
What?
The balconies are dying.
How much time do we have?
Not much.
I've heard you speak French. Just listen to this. Listen
to
it.
I can't.
Do you speak French or not? Because that would be nice.
Iteration 1 7.
That voice is weird. What is that?
4 5 1 2.
It's repeating.
She's right. What? It's a loop. Iteration. It's repeating the same message. It's a counter.
Iteration.
The next number will end
5 3 3.
Does anyone know what the hell he's talking about?
It's a running count of the number of times the message is repeated. It's roughly 30 seconds long, so how long?
Don't forget to carry the one, Chief.
She's saying... Please. She's saying, please help me. Please come get me.
Or she's not. You don't even speak
Let
French.
Let her listen.
Shut up, man.
Where's the battery? The battery.
7 2 9 4 5 3 5.
I'm alone now. On the island alone. Please, someone come. The others, they're dead. It killed them. It killed them all.
That was good.
16 years.
What?
16 years. And 5 months, that's the count.
What the hell are you talking about?
The iterations. It's a distress call. Plea for help, a mayday. If the count is right, it's been playing over and over for 16 years.
Someone else stranded here?
Maybe they came for them.
Someone came. Why is it still playing? Guys, where are we?
lost. They use that they use that quote from Charlie in like every promo ever. Yep. Yeah. And every time they did it, I'd say out loud, lost. And then I'd look over at my husband and wait for him to laugh, and he never laughed. But anyway.
Hashtag marriage.
I think Charlie's question is one we were all asking after watching these episodes. So let's look at the layers of the show. In its first layer, you have the story of a bunch of people who survived a plane crash and are now trying to figure out how to get rescued. And that alone would be enough to drive a series. I'm pretty sure it's what I thought I was tuning in for when I watched the pilot originally. Then there's a layer on top of that where it's a show about these interesting and enigmatic people stranded on a desert island. And a lot of them are hiding secrets about their backgrounds, and they have to figure out how to work together to survive. Just finding out more about each of these characters and their relationships to one another would also be enough to drive a series. But then there's another layer of mystery with the smoke monster and the polar bears and what caused the flight to crash in the first place and what's up with this distress call and what is this island all about? So I think what these episodes do well and why they deserve to be in the canon is they make you care while being both entertaining and compelling. I could watch that first sequence where Jack arrives on the beach over and over again and see something new in it every time. I think Lost doesn't get its fair due as an important contribution to television because the series didn't land successfully. That's putting it mildly for many people. When viewers realized that the show was raising questions that it wouldn't or couldn't answer, and when they felt like they were just marking time with go-nowhere plots and further reiterations of the same character beats, many viewers gave the show up. But even if you didn't stick around past the first season or two, you can see or remember how these two episodes felt the first time you saw them. They were different from other pilots in terms of how they looked, how diverse the cast was, how they subtly introduced compelling characters and let the viewers tease out bits and pieces of their backstories and personalities. They were so influential that the next few seasons featured every other network generating their own sci-fi mystery show. I know, I recap most of them. So due to their excellence in the field of television pilots, as well as their influence and importance in television history, I ask you to consider Lost Season 1, Episodes 1 and 2 for the canon.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Oh, you can go first.
I don't have to go first, but since I'm already talking, I guess I'll just go first.
Okay.
Thank you for this presentation. I was actually apprehensive about watching this again because I thought it would be really difficult for me to separate the pilot and how I felt about that from how I felt about things that happened later on in the series, to wit, they were not some, but all of the bullshit. And I actually quit. I think there was some point where someone looked down yet another hatch. It was in like season 3 and I was like, I can't. And like, I think I wrote an angry letter. Like I was so done with it. But that feeling of like most of the country being obsessed with like the numbers, decoding stuff from the episodes, like that was a real thing that we forget about because so many people bailed in the middle seasons because they were like, I can't even. But what I also remember was like doing my toenails in front of this pilot and like just stopping. It was like one toenail polished.
Yeah.
Because it was amazing, like the thing with the guy getting sucked into the engine, like the CGI looks a little ratchet sometimes today with the smoke monster. But it was really amazingly done. It sucked you right in. You wanted to see what was going to happen with these people. And some of the bullshit, like the first note I made was that the Walt is happening fucking immediately. It's in the first 30 seconds that I was like, oh my God, really? And there's some laggy storytelling and fillery stuff, like Jack's story about fear. Like, yes, there's a callback to it, but like, get on with it. You're like way off the beach flirting with this girl who's stitching you up. Like, I want to know what's going on with all the fuel that's on the beach. Like, get back to the actual crash. But I was so sucked into it at the time, and it was like, yay, it's Agent Sean. Oh, shit, he's dead. Like, it really, like, it brought it all back, like, that experience, both individually and communally, of this show and how trendsetting it was and also how frustrating it was. And that last clip, I'm glad that you played the whole thing. Like, I looked at it in the doc, and I was like, really? The whole, like, 4 minutes? But then it's like, the little hairs stood up on my arms again every time. Like when you realize that they're not even sure when they are, much less where.
And it's so tight. There's nowhere you could cut. Like that's those 4 minutes are like, that's some tight writing.
Yeah. And there is just something really creepy about, like, I could go on a whole sidebar, I won't, about like phantom radio stations and like the ends of the AM band that are used by like drug dealers and kidnappers for dead drops and stuff like that. Email me if you care. Spoiler, if you don't. But like just hearing transmissions like that, like robot transmissions, yeah. And then this woman who's like, you know, everyone's dead. Maggie, who is like one of my favorite characters, actually, just because of the sketch that she is and how efficiently she's drawn. And then what happens with them? I don't know. Like, it really brought me back, and I was able to sort of set aside like all the whatever Kate, Jack, Sawyer foolishness, and here's another hatch, and here's another timeline, and we don't know what the fuck we're doing. And then the ending, which I didn't watch, but my brother is still mad about it to this day. like, excellent submission, and it was really fun to watch it again and be like, oh yeah, remember when you were totally innocent about what the show was going to be? So yeah, thank you for bringing us back there.
Joe, why don't you go?
I think I had, I felt a little bit of that same task of separating the pilot from the rest of the series. I feel like I don't have quite as negative feelings about the finale, but it is like two separate things. It feels like this is its own entity. And because it was such an event, this pilot, even when it aired, like that it's easy to sort of treat it as its own thing. I still feel like Jack is such a fucking cock, from like that first minute where like he's just like he's such a gratuitous jerk to Boone when Boone is giving CPR to Rose, and he's like, you're doing it wrong, you're blowing air into her stomach, and he's like, I'm a certified a lifeguard or whatever, and like he's being dumb or whatever, but Jack's like, oh, you might want to give that license back. I was like, just fucking do it right then, man. Just like, and he sends him off to like go find pens to do the tracheotomy that they're not going to do, and like Boone's a fool, but Jack was being an asshole. He was also being that kind of like superhero, like, I'm going to take care of this, and then I'm going to run over here and take care of pregnant Claire, and then I'm going to set her up, and I'm going to go over and like try and save this guy and pull this guy out from under the plane. And it reminded me of how we would hear later on that Jack was supposed to die in the original conception of the show, that he was supposed to die at the end of the pilot
and be played by Michael Keaton of all things, like that's the Batman.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I feel like that presents itself in some of those sort of like super heroic moments from the pilot where he's just like, man, he's just going to take care of everybody, isn't he? And that would have been actually kind of interesting to see somebody who's like, oh, well, this guy's going to save us. And then he gets killed at the end of the pilot.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like on a larger scale, like what Sarah was saying, like it's just so effective and it's so, you know, bombastic in good ways, but it does really like makes little decisions that you wouldn't even think of. Like the fact at the beginning that, you know, even before the guy gets sucked into the plane engine, that it's still going on the beach. So there's just this like loud noise in the background of everything that makes it seem all the more crazy and all the more frantic and all the more hectic. And like, that's like, you know, a cool decision to have made. I do like the way that the characters sort of present themselves. They all seem interesting. The one thing about the episode is that it feels schematic at times where it's, and of course, like almost all pilots are schematic in that, like, it's, you know, it's there to do a job and it's got to set up these, you know, bowling pins and they got to knock them down at the right time. You feel that kind of script book ness of it every once in a while. Like you feel like this is the kind of a pilot that gets taught in schools at this point.
Yeah.
And totally. Sometimes you feel that where it's just like, okay, we gotta like by this point in the pilot, we've gotta, you know, break on this question. And then there's this mystery with this character and this, you know, cliffhanger and that kind of thing. But these are all just like ultimately these are calling cards of a really well done pilot, and the fact that like sometimes I can see a little bit of the work doesn't ultimately take anything away from me when enjoying it. And I will say also the part where, what is Boone's sister, Shannon, where Shannon's like, she's describing Boone to somebody else and she just
I called her Maggie. I can never remember her actress's name.
Well, that's her actress's name.
Yeah, just looks like such a Maggie all the time. I don't know why.
But when she calls him God's friggin' gift to humanity, and I remembered that Dan Coyce in the recaps, that's how he always referred to Boone. was Boone, comma, God's friggin' gift to humanity. I was just like, man, that takes me back. The whole pilot takes me back. It just got me so excited for the show, and it got me so like it got everybody so excited. It was very cool to have everybody sort of on the same page about a show. So
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I mean, like you guys said, it's a very weird experience watching this and trying to like cast yourself back to before you know how things are ending. But the one thing that I would say positively to that regard is that you see how many breadcrumbs they leave for like story they're going to pick up later, like the stuff about the you know, we don't know where the tail is. Obviously, that's a major thing later in the season when in the series, and when you see this, you know, the flight attendant who ends up being part of the Tailey story too. There's just like there's a lot of stubs for stuff that they can pick up and deal with later, and you know, some of them are more notable than others, i.e. the polar bear, where we end up eventually seeing, oh, there was a zoo. Okay. Anyway, the other thing is like watching Kate from a time before I hated her so much was also interesting, because I still hate her and that actress now because of how bad her character got later in the show. And same with Josh Holloway Sawyer, like when he had his first shot of like there's like a big hero shot of him lighting a cigarette or something, and I turned to Dave and was like, remember when we thought he was really gonna be something? I mean, I know he has a show now on USA, but like, exactly. He kind of really hasn't fulfilled his potential of like what we thought he could be as an actor from the show. I also like that you clipped the scene with Locke and Walt, because it's one of those things that Sarah talks about sometimes where it's like an adult being very natural with a kid, which he is. Like,
yes,
you know,
I did have a note about that.
He has that line where he's like, you're having a bad month. Like,
yeah,
yep.
I love that. Best line. Also, there's some background actors talking at some point that I don't know if anyone else noticed this, but there's some argument happening in the foreground.
No.
And someone's like, something is really familiar about this place. And the other person's like, where are you from? And the other person says, the Bronx. Like, it just makes no sense.
Oh,
it was
just
really funny to me.
But that ends up being a thing later when they're trying to identify what the sound is of the smoke monster. And Rose, I think, says it sounds like the whatever train, like that it sounds like a subway train. Anyway.
Yeah. And she was the one who identified that actress is one of the ones who identified the L.
Right. Yes.
Elevated train in The Fugitive. So,
there we go.
It's all circle of love. Anyway, sorry, Tara.
Just the last thing I was going to say is that this is an amazing pilot. Obviously, it's impossible to take anything away from it except this. That when I got to the end of it, I was like, if I watch this show now, and like, how would I react? Would I want to keep watching it? I wouldn't, because I would think this is just going to end up its own ass like Lost. Like, there's so much impossible to I feel like Lost has kind of ruined all of this kind of show forever after, because now I will just never trust that any
once
kind
bitten,
of like
twice shy.
That's the thing. Any like you know, I'm all for having big ideas in TV, obviously, but now like any kind of, you know, huge sweeping sci-fi tinged whatever, it's like now I'm just always thinking I can't let my heart get broken again by Lost. That said, the pilot is unimpeachable, and this was a great presentation, so thank you, Kim.
Yeah, the pilot is fun and it is solid, and you know, for all the faults of Lost as it went along, it was very fun and entertaining to watch in the moment.
Yeah,
so you know, when it comes to Lost Legacy, totally once bitten, twice shy for me. Just like Tara, like, I'm very wary now. You know, if I didn't learn the lesson with X-Files, I definitely came, you know, it came to be my mantra after Lost. Don't trust the sci-fi, you know, plus five season shows, because they're just going to meander and nobody has the guts to pull the plug.
Like, imagine if Lost had only been two seasons.
Yeah,
it would have been so much better.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, or maybe three, you know. Like,
yeah, or three, sure.
Yeah, do a three acts. So the one thing I want to point out, really fun, liked it a lot. As much as the characters, Kate with the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 thing was really good, really like sold how scared she was, her intro acting was so terrible. I could see her walking parallel to Jack, and you could almost see her think, don't look at that guy there until he says something. Like, her walking is so stilted. It's like, what was the show where it's like, I don't know what to do with my hands when they're acting? And he's like holding two mugs at 30 Rock. Yeah. It was sort of like that. You know, it was like almost that level of in your own head acting. And I was just like, oh, yeah, she's not great. But she did sell the fear stuff. But again, bottom line, super fun pilot, really solid, really like it met its goal. Like, what the fuck is going on? I don't understand half of this. It's really intriguing. It's just too bad they couldn't Breaking Bad it, where they had it all ahead of time, and they actually had solutions to all these things they brought up. I feel like Lost was like almost like the internet, you know, where it's sort of like trying to feel where it's going, and it's very much of its age, and it's just sort of like, well, we'll go with it, and we'll see where it ends, and they just sort of like biff the ending. But what a great start, and you can't deny it. So let's put this to a vote. Who went first?
Sarah,
what say you?
I did, and it is a yes for me.
Joseph?
Yes from me.
Tartholomew?
Yes, me too.
Me too. Lost, the pilot, which is both episode 1 and episode 2, you are hereby inducted into the extra Hot Great Canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yeah.
And will not tolerate a loser.
No.
This is going to be a long episode, guys. It is time for winner and a loser of the week. Sarah has her winner.
I do have our winner. It is the American colonies. Sleepy Hollow was renewed for some reason, and I guess Turn Washington Spies is still on despite my abandoning it. These are both, like, much like America, ideas that were full of promise, really didn't turn out too well, and I think I'd like to bail. Dara.
Speaking of America, the loser, a loser this week is America, because this week AMC aired the 4th episode of The Night Manager. Dave, of course, and I flew to England to watch that version of it, of course, obviously. And in that episode, we get to see Tom Hiddleston's bum as he has sex with someone, but not in America. And people were outraged. So,
or like the shite manager.
Seriously. So if you can, I recommend that you fly to England and watch the original uncut version of it, because is that a bum worth seeing? Yes, it is.
Bum, bum, bum. All right, guys, seeing bums brings up an interesting question, which is this. Do you know what time it is?
I don't know, Joe.
Time to get used to Gainesville. Thanks, Joe.
It's bum time.
Yay!
Joe.
Hey, I'm going to do a game.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to intro a little bit.
With a lot
about
of ceremony
how,
in
seasons. All right. Between,
here we
in
go.
Between seasons.
Yeah, sure. All right, let's do that. So, sort of a new tradition that we forgot to do last time, but still, we'll try to keep it a tradition, is when a season ends, Dave gets to play a game time the next week. So, that is this week, so that means one of our usual contestants has to do the game. And this time, thank you, Joe, for creating the game. Take it away, Joe.
Anytime. So what we're going to do, this was a game type that I submitted while I was between hosting gigs on this show. I called it Mountain Climber after, I think that's what the game is called on The Price is Right. If it's not, it should be, because it's with the little yodely mountain man climbing up the hill. Mm-hmm. The game goes as such. You'll be asked questions about TV shows where the answers are numbers. You will try to approximate the correct answer. However many you are off the correct answer is your score for that question. So you want to keep your score as low as possible. Bullseye answers allow you to subtract 10 points from your score. And we will go through 4 rounds of types of questions. So you'll see as we go along.
Okay.
Any questions?
Okay. That's good. Do you have an order for us?
I can just do an order. Why not?
All right. Joe has picky today.
Okay.
Joe, as Picky says, Sarah goes first.
We will start with Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Yay! Kim.
Yep.
Tara.
Yep.
And then Dave.
Okay.
All right. Should we all keep our own scores? Is it complicated?
I'm keeping scores, okay. But yes, but you should.
Yeah, everybody, keep
I have
scores
a scratch
as possible.
Pad.
I'm going to try and do it. We'll all keep each other honest. We'll do score breaks in between each question type.
All right. Is everybody ready to play Mountain Climber?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yes.
All right. So the first round of questions are TV opening credits. So you're going to tell me how many people were in the opening credits of these shows throughout their entire run. How many different people?
Okay, total.
Okay.
Total. Got it.
How many opening credits cast members were on these shows total?
Oh, Jesus.
The first one, Sarah. Real Housewives of New York City.
Total. To date.
To date.
Shit. That's I only watched the one iteration of that entire franchise. It does seem like there have been a bunch of them in the credits. I am not sure. 12.
Oh, very close. 14.
I was
really?
Going to say 15. Yeah. Nice. Okay, so two
points. Two. Two
Good
points
job,
for you.
Sarah.
Okay. Kim.
Yes.
Melrose Place.
All right.
That old salty dog Melrose Place.
And they got rid of the entire first season cast pretty much. And I'm going to say 22.
Oh, 23.
Oh, all right. Wow. Really? That's way lower than I would have thought. Good job, Kim.
Yeah,
thank
one
you.
Point. Okay, Tara,
yeah.
Yours is the OC.
Let's say 19.
12.
Okay.
No. Wow.
Perhaps. One, two, three,
hold on a
five,
seven.
Six,
okay.
Seven.
Yes.
Gilmore Girls.
Oh, boy. Throughout time, let's go with 14.
Yes, bingo.
Yeah!
Bullseye.
So does he get minus 10?
I'm minus 10.
Starting off with negative 10.
Good job, nice. Dave. This is why we don't let him play, you guys.
Back to Sarah. Your show is The Facts of Life.
Oh, boy.
So, Sarah, remember to take the good and take the bad. Take them all, and there you have the total members of Facts of Life.
Facts of Life. Uh-huh. Where I was going. Thanks for trampling my punchline. Yeah, speaking of a first season cast replacement.
Yeah.
La 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 la. 12 again. Why not?
20.
Oh!
Perhaps.
Lots.
Ouch.
And lots and lots. Kim, Cheers.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Ooh. All right. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then there was Woody. And then Kirstie Alley. Yeah. 10.
Bingo.
Hey!
Wow, nice.
Woo!
Nice job. Tara, yours is One Day at a Time.
Oh, this is it.
This is it.
8.
13.
Okay. What?
Oh, yeah, Alex.
There were a lot of boyfriends.
There were a lot of boyfriends.
And husbands,
Shelley Fabre
eventually.
Was in there for a while.
Yeah.
There's an episode where Schneider split into two. Played by his...
John Schneider.
Yeah.
Dave, your next one is Dallas.
Oh boy. Yikes. That could be really big. Dallas. Oh, so original, I assume?
Yes.
Assume. Not remake.
Yeah.
Or not whatever. Continuation.
Famous
TNT
famous bullshit. JR's original Dallas.
Famous JR's original. Yes,
oh
exactly.
Boy. I don't really know that show too well. I'm going to go with a large soap opera. I'm going to say, oh, man, there's lots of brothers and sisters, and there's older people and younger people. Let's go 17.
21.
All
right. Oh, that's not bad. I would have guessed like 40.
That's what I was going to say, too. Okay.
All right, that's all credits, so we can do a score break. That was a short one.
Oh, boy, this is very exciting. Kim has negative 9. Dave has negative 6. Sarah has 10. I have 12.
Okay.
All right. Round two.
Round two, this one is TV guest stars. So you're going to tell me how many episodes these guest stars were on these TV shows throughout the entire run of these shows.
Okay.
All right. Sarah, you are up first. You get Herbert Edelman as Stan Zbornak on Golden Girls.
Oh, it's him. Stan. Oh, boy. He was kind of on a bunch. I'm going to say 12 again.
25.
What? Wow. Fuck it, Stan.
Tack a 13 onto that. Okay. Kim, you get Hank Azaria as Matt the Dog Walker on Mad About You.
He was in a lot. There was like a season where he was in many episodes, as I recall. Because wasn't he married to Helen Hunt? Did he marry Helen Hunt?
I don't remember if they were married. They were dating
at that
point.
They were a couple in real life.
At that point, they were dating.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, sidetracked. So let's say 20.
17.
Ooh,
all right.
Pretty
good.
Close.
Yeah.
Take it.
Tara, you get Sasha Alexander as Gretchen Witter on Dawson's Creek.
Vicky!
10?
20.
Oh, fuck.
Wow.
she was the worst.
Yeah, they had that one season where they just sort of parked her in there and let her be conflict between Dawson and Pacey. Anyway, Dave,
yeah.
You get Joanne Stevens as Grandma Saracen on Friday Night Lights.
Oh, boy, I don't know. Never watched the show. Okay, is she the one that's a little out of it?
Yes.
Yes.
And she was the grandmother to John Mars? John Carter from Mars?
No.
Is that the character?
No.
No.
The other
no,
guy.
To Zach Gilford's character.
Oh, okay.
To the Purge Anarchy. Of,
yes, Purge yes. Anarchy. All right.
Kara speaks Dave's language.
I do.
Let's go. This is just a blind guess. Grandma comes in, comes out. She's only probably at the home things. Let's say 14.
47.
Oh, dang. Way more.
Yeah. That's what, 33 off? All right. Back to Sarah. You get Mary Louise Mary Louise Parker as Amy Gardner on The West Wing.
Oh, that old thing.
My girl.
More for you. I actually do think it's 12, but I've hit a bad patch with that, so I'm going to say 8.
20.
Damn it!
Wow. Oh, my God.
All right, sorry, Kim, you said 8 and it was 20, so that's 12, right?
12, correct. Yes. Kim, you get Mario Cantone as Anthony on Sex and the City.
Boy, I feel like he wasn't in a lot. So I'm going to say 8.
12.
All right.
Very good. Okay, Tara, you get Dan Hedaya as Nick Tortelli on Cheers.
13.
6.
Really? That's it? That's
but then
it.
He got a spinoff, right? They had the Tortelli.
Then he got a spinoff.
He did.
Dave, you get Tom Arnold as Arnie on Roseanne.
Oh, man.
again, never watched. So let's just.
But you know that he and Roseanne were, you know.
Yeah.
Involved.
Okay. So, sorry, what was the character's name?
Arnie. His name was Arnie Thomas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus.
He's just some schlub
really?
On the show.
Yep.
Some yep. dude.
He's married to Sandra Bernhard's character.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Okay, yep. Let's just go with... 19.
The answer is 20.
Yeah!
Oh, my God. Well done, Dave.
Ringer.
Well
Good
picked.
Job.
All right. Sarah, back to you. You get Tova Feltsche as Danielle Melnick on Law & Order Original Recipe.
She's Chicky. Done so many more than I thought. She keeps coming up.
Original Recipe. I feel like it felt like she was on every week, but it wasn't that often. So I'm going to say 7.
13.
Damn it.
Add 6 on to that. All right, Kim, you get Sherry Shepherd as Angie Jordan on 30 Rock.
Ham.
Ham.
Let's see. 6?
11.
All right.
Ara, you get William H. Macy as Dr. Morgenstern on ER.
Wow. Nice.
Oh.
Seems like a lifetime ago.
Yeah. 7?
31.
What?
Oh,
whoa!
Yeah.
Jesus.
Ouch.
No 47, but
see, Dave, you're back in it.
Dave, you're probably not going to like this one. Constance Zimmer as Dana Gordon on Entourage.
Constance Zimmer. Oh wait, yep. she is on Orange Is the New Black.
She's from House of Cards.
House of Cards
and Unreal.
Unreal.
Oh right, she's the one that looks like somebody else.
Sure.
No?
Yes.
Yeah. She kind of looks like Nataro, whatever.
Natasha Leggero.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's her. Okay.
Yes, she does.
Not like Tetlani or whatever.
The not like
Tetlani.
I've already forgotten the show, so it's her in what?
On Entourage.
Entourage. All right.
You know, Joe.
I've never watched. I've never seen one episode of Entourage. How many seasons did it have?
Lots.
Okay, thanks.
Too many.
A bunch.
Let's go
like
with
7. Something?
24.
Yeah,
21.
Yay!
Nice. Guess.
Yeah, no more helping, Dave.
Yeah.
Back to Sarah. Oh God, space comes into play again. Whoopi Goldberg as Guinan on Star Trek: The Next Generation.
God damn
Ooh,
it!
That's tough.
Oh, what number rhymes with space that I could yell? 18!
28!
Shoot!
10 off. Okay, for Kim.
Yep.
Gabby Hoffman as Caroline on Girls.
This is one she actually appeared in, right? It's not just...
Yes.
Okay.
Credited, yes.
Yep.
This all goes by IMDb, so that's okay. That's my fallback.
That's fine. Because this season, she was referred to many times, but I don't think she actually appeared. Anyway. Six.
Seven.
Oh,
nice.
Man.
Nice job.
Kim.
Tara, you get...
This game.
Deborah Messing as a guest judge on Project Runway.
Okay. Four?
Oh, picky.
Four exactly.
Yeah!
Finally, that's good for something. Nice
job.
Four? Shut up, Project Runway.
Seriously.
Dave Cole, you get Carrie Preston as Elsbeth Tassione on The Good Wife.
Tassione.
Okay, episode she was in. I'm going to say 11.
14.
Yeah, right. Nice.
I'll take that.
Back to Sarah, you get Picky's Kind again. Amy Aquino as Dr. Tony Pavone on Felicity.
The problem with smoking is the dry cleaning bills. Nine.
Ten.
Oh,
one off.
Better.
Well done.
All right.
Improving.
Kim, you get Jason Segel as Eric on Undeclared.
Remember, he had like a pillowcase made of his face. It's been a long time.
That count?
Show.
He did.
He probably was in that episode too at the end, maybe. I don't think he. Well, five.
Eight.
Really?
All right.
Yeah, more than I thought too, but yes,
I would have said
he's credited
three.
As eight episodes.
Okay.
Tara, you get Peter Bogdanovich as Dr. Elliot Kupferberg on The Sopranos. Oh.
Four.
14.
So
his
much
water
for
bottle
that.
Also was made.
Dave, you
I'm
get
ready.
Raul Esparza as Dr. Frederick Chilton on Hannibal.
Who?
Raul Esparza as
Raul Esparza
Chilton.
As Dr. Chilton on Hannibal.
He also plays Barba.
Oh, Chilton.
On SVU,
yeah. Okay. Eight.
12.
Yeah. All right.
Fine. Two more each before the score break.
Okay.
Sarah, back to Sarah, you get Max Greenfield as Deputy Leo on Veronica Mars.
Oh. Were we ever so young? He's still so fucking cute in those reruns.
Yep.
Shit. 17. Spread Eagle.
11.
Really?
Yep.
That few?
That few.
All right.
Kim, you get, call back to last week's Extra Hot Great, Mark Price as Skippy on Family Ties.
Oh my god.
Not as Thorgy Thor on RuPaul's Drag Race. Only as Skippy on Family Ties.
Boy, it's probably a lot. Because those shows also, like, every season was like 37 episodes. I'm just going to take a wild guess. 45?
52.
Wow.
Oh,
only off by seven. That was well done. Tara, you get Lucy Lawless as Deanna Beers on Battlestar Galactica.
15.
Booze. 16.
Ooh,
nice.
Very close.
Nice.
Dave, you get Isabel Sanford as Louise Wheezy Jefferson on All in the Family.
say that like the rest of us would know.
I don't care about all the rest of us. I'm only worried about Dave.
Okay.
Dave says six.
Dave is off by 20. 26.
Bye, Dave.
I wouldn't have known.
Me neither.
All right, last set of questions in this round. These are the big ticket items, so everybody buckle up. Sarah, you get James Michael Tyler as Gunther on Friends.
Jesus.
How many times were they in that coffee bar on Friends?
And like him just walking through the background of a shot is probably credit. So he was probably on times 10, carry 3, 44.
152.
God,
no. Hold on. Wow. I'm going to need to do a little math here. I think not in my
she's
head.
She's 108 off.
Oh,
oh boy.
My God. Bye, Dodo.
Wow.
All right. Kim, you yeah. get Carolyn McCormick as Dr. Elizabeth Olivette on Law & Order Original Recipe.
All right. Well, I know who she is, and I've all watched right. the show, so I feel all like right. that's a good step in the right direction.
That is. I just saw the one that Dave's going to get. Dave, I'm preemptively sorry. Anyway.
after 108.
I also feel like I need Saeed to do this math for me, because he calculated uh-huh. that 30 seconds iteration.
Yeah, real quick, 16. Right? Didn't yeah. he? Yeah.
He's like a savant. Anyway, I'm not. And I'm going to guess Law & Order
87. Nice. All right, that's pretty okay. good. 15 off.
Wow.
It's no 108.
Tara?
Hold on. I'm still, Tara, I'm you still get... hold on. I'm oh, still doing math on, yeah, on Sarah's.
Continue
okay.
mathing. Continue
I need to,
mathing.
I need to just basically redo these because I started to count hash marks and then it was like, oh, there's a million hash marks here. So okay.
I've been doing it, Tara. So like we can reset after these. So
okay. What did Kim get on that last one?
15?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm prepared. Go ahead. Okay. Just tell. Okay, I'm ready.
That's all right. You get Mitch Pileggi,
yep,
however
Pileggi.
We pronounce
uh-huh.
that, as Walter Skinner on The X-Files.
60.
85.
Okay.
Joe, I can't believe you don't know how to pronounce some guy's last name. Travesty.
Fired. Especially that guy.
All right,
Dave,
let's hear
I
this
said,
one you're sorry
I apologize.
About.
Dave gets Johnny Bananos de Venanzio on the Real World Road Rules Challenge.
Fuck me. well, I know it's a big number, so obviously it is 72.
It is 130.
Yeah, fuck off.
Oh, Jesus. Wow. Criminy.
Yeah.
130. All right.
And still counting.
Yep.
Yeah.
In a couple days, it'll be 130.
All right, so let's score break.
Okay,
so
God.
We have
okay. Kim
Tara,
is in
you
the lead.
Check my math yeah. as I go. Okay.
Sure, yeah. Kim. I have Kim in the lead with 51. No, 31.
I have 29.
Okay.
For the record, I'd like to say that I suggested everybody keep their own scores at the start of this game because this is complicated.
Okay. Let's go back in time and do that.
Yeah. Then. Let's listen to Dave. Dave's right. Also, we should remove. Everybody should be able to remove. 3 scores. That's Dave's suggestion.
Dave's New America.
All right. I have, it looks like, 20, 40, 50, 75, 79?
79, yep.
Okay. Dave has 116, and Sarah yep. has 166.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
All right. Round 3. Round 3 is about Emmy nominations. These
oh,
ones
God.
Won't have quite so big numbers, so it'll be fine. These are shows that were not beloved by the Emmys in major categories, but how many total Emmy nominations did they get throughout their entire run? So three questions each for everybody in this one. So this is a relatively short round. We'll start with Sarah. Sarah, you get Buffy the Vampire Slayer. How many in any categories
any category
across all seasons?
Across all seasons. I feel like I got a couple every year and shit like makeup. 14.
14 exactly. Bullseye.
Hey!
Woo!
10 off.
Before you give Kim's, what did we decide her score was? You had 29, right? That's what
29,
you said?
29, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I got that right. Yes. Okay.
She's going to win anyway,
Kim.
So it doesn't matter. But yes.
She's so far.
I don't know. Emmy's not my good category, but go ahead.
Kim, you get The Wire.
Oh, boy. This was a big deal because it got hardly any in any category. Like editing, maybe. 3?
2.
Oh.
That is a disgrace.
It is.
Tara, you get My So-Called Life. One season, how many nominations?
2.
4.
Okay.
And Dave, you get The Killing.
Oh, 1.
6.
Yeah, fuck off, The Killing. All right, let's call back. People are sidelining.
All right.
Again, why are you saying it like it's my fault?
I'm not. I'm saying I know things about how this show runs.
Okay.
Better cut it around the dial.
No one's ever mad when it's long.
Yeah.
I don't like them. This is so long.
Hello?
Hey.
Hello.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay. All right, just pick up whenever you want. This is not score time, right?
Nope, not yet.
Okay.
Nope. Back to Sarah. You get Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Hey!
One season, how many nominations?
Three.
Five.
Ugh.
Tim.
Yes.
Battlestar Galactica.
Space! yep. Boy, I'm sure it got like some special effects stuff. Maybe makeup. 10.
19.
Ooh.
All
right. Ooh.
Tara? Yep.
Beverly Hills 90210.
Well, it was on for a long time, but it was terrible. let's say 7.
1.
Yeah, that's not right.
1 sad nomination.
Do you know what it
for
is?
For best drama. No, that was not the nomination. Dave, uh-huh. You get The Americans.
The Americans.
Still on. How many Emmy nominations to date total?
7.
5.
All right.
Back to Sarah. JAG.
Oh, that's technically still on somewhere, right? In the alternate timeline.
Some Japanese yeah.
It course. Really I really think one day Netflix is going to be like, "What? We had it the whole time." No. 11.
11 exactly.
Yay!
10 off.
Navally.
Yes. Kim, according to Jim.
please let it be 0.
Not your husband.
Yeah. Yeah. Who, by the way, is with my kids at an outdoor event right now. It is snowing here, just so
oh
you know.
God. Oh, God.
They're at their track and field. It's like 37 degrees and snowing. Anyway, God bless him. But according to Jim, probably got, I don't know, I hope not many, 2?
4.
All right.
That's less than I thought. For some reason, I thought that show would just get like... You know, middle of the road apathy.
Felt like Courtney Thorne Smith was nominated probably as a pity thing every year. Anyway,
sorry about that. Tara, you get Smash. How many Emmy nominations did Smash get?
All of them.
5.
6.
Ooh. Nice.
Well done. Dave, you will close out this round with Family Guy.
Family Guy. Oh, boy. Well, more than it deserves, and that number is 6.
22. Oh, certainly more than
hey,
it
God.
Dude.
Damn it. Bad at this game, and I'm bad at life.
All right. Sarah is in last place with 147. Dave is next with 139. Kim, sorry, I have 88. Kim has 41.
Last round, everybody. Last group of questions.
Oh, thank
God. These ones are
Kim.
Yes, Dave.
Kim.
Yeah. Yep.
Psych, 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 super psych.
Well done. All right. These are four major events that happened in the TV show. So in what episode of X show did Y event take place?
And you're wanting like show. Episode 58 or whatever, not season
yes,
blah, episode
total,
blah.
Right,
got it.
Right. Okay. Yes. Total episode number.
Got
yes,
it.
Correct.
Got it.
Sarah, you will begin with on Alias. In what episode did the CIA take down SD6?
Ooh.
How many episodes into the run?
33.
35.
Whoa!
Whoa.
Nice.
Nice. Kim?
Yeah.
On Sex and the City, how? In what episode did Carrie begin dating Aiden? How many episodes into the run?
Chris in the morning.
See.
And all night long.
Probably, I don't know, 40, 41.
35 again.
Oh.
So you're six off. Tara.
Yes,
sir. On Charmed. Mm-hmm. How many episodes into the run of Charmed did Prue, Shannon Doherty's character, die?
40.
66.
Ooh. Fitting.
Dave, you get Seinfeld. How many episodes into Seinfeld did Elaine start working for Jay Peterman?
Oh, boy. Oh,
shit.
67.
110.
Oh.
So that's 43?
Guys, I don't know about this tradition. This is kind of...
Yes, this is a really good idea for a round, I would just like to say.
Thank you.
Since I'm going to lose spectacularly, I'd just like to say I admire the build while sailing into the airlock.
Into the abyss, yes. All right, back to you, Sarah. On Project Runway, how many episodes into Project Runway did Zulema call for a motherfucking walk-off?
Wow. That is a great question. It's just a great question. How many episodes into the series
into
run
the series
did
run.
She call for a motherfucking walk-off?
Yes.
20.
19.
Yay!
Oh, dang it.
Kim, on Beverly Hills 90210, how many episodes into that show's run did Donna and Brenda go to Paris?
Well, I listened to, and with this, the Beverly Hills 90210 podcast, and they've already covered that. So I know it happened within the first three seasons. Let's say,
keep in mind those 20, seasons are.
I know they're like 35 episodes long.
Yeah.
Let's say 28.
53.
Oh no.
So that's 25. I believe you accrued 25 points.
Yes.
Come to the club, Kip.
Tara, on Angel, how many episodes into Angel was Connor, baby Connor, born?
No, oh, Christ.
40?
53.
Okay.
Dave?
82.
Sorry, let me find my place. Dave, on NYPD Blue, how many episodes into NYPD Blue did Bobby Simone, Jimmy Smith's character, how many, he died? When did he die?
All I remember about that is doing some pixel challenge on the twat boards where I did this gravestone that said, Bobby Simone, I told you I was sick. I feel like it's later episodes, so I'm going to say 94.
115.
All right.
That's close.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Considering how long that fucker 21 was on.
Off. Nice. All right. Sarah, back to you on The Sopranos. Well done, Picky. How many episodes into The Sopranos did Big Pussy get knocked off?
26.
26. Boom.
Whoa. Yep.
Get that bullseye.
Sarah, did you have three bullseyes so far?
Yes.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. She does. Well done. Kim, on America's Next Top Model, how many episodes into America's Next Top Model did Tyra tell Tiffany that she's never in her life yelled at a girl like this?
We were all rooting for you. Boy, I don't know what season that was, is the problem.
Cycle.
Sorry, you're right. I don't know what cycle that was.
Oh,
I know. Believe me, I moderated the forums for a long time.
Yeah, that's right. Oof.
Let's say 82.
40.
Oh,
that's
no.
It?
Oh, episode 40, yep.
All right, so it's 42 off.
Yep.
Ooh.
Tightening up, everybody. Tara, on Gilmore Girls, Tara, how many episodes into that show did Lorelai and Suki open the Dragonfly Inn?
Oh, boy. 35?
87.
Oh, Jesus.
Shit.
87?
So what's 52?
Yep.
Alrighty. Dave, on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, how many episodes into that show did Joyce Summers die?
Well, I know we did it in the canon. I can't remember anything else about the particulars of where that was in the run. I feel like I was in the middle. So let's... Oh, little from Tara.
I don't know either.
Was she still alive when Dawn? She's still alive when Dawn was... Oh, fuck, I don't know. Let's say 102.
Not close, 94.
All right.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Only 8 off. Nice job. Back to Sarah. On RuPaul's Drag Race, how many episodes into that show did they have the first snatch game?
Shit. I feel like this is a trick, but I'm probably overthinking it. So, or am I?
Well, now
I am. Fuck it. 5.
13.
Damn it.
Wasn't until the second season.
I was right. Yeah. Shit. All right. Well,
Kim on the West Wing, how many episodes into that show did Mrs. Landingham die?
Ooh, I just watched that episode.
Yeah.
I've been doing a West Wing rewatch. Anyway, let's see. I'm trying to think what season it was. I'm going to say 38.
43.
Right. Oh, if you'd like to learn more about the West Wing, Kim, now that you're just off by that little, check out the westwingchangeme.com.
Yeah, yes. I will. I'm excited.
That was well done. On Breaking Bad, Tara, how many episodes into that show did Hank realize that Walt was Heisenberg in his from his spot on the John when Hank realized Walt was Heisenberg?
40.
54.
Okay.
14 off.
54 spelled with bacon.
Dave, on Friends, how many episodes into Friends did Chandler and Monica have sex in London?
Oh, boy. Time? Let's see. Friends had 10 seasons, right?
I don't actually know.
Yes.
10, 11.
I think
that
it did.
Right.
Yeah, 10.
121.
96.
Yeah.
It's pretty close.
Yeah. So 25. All right. Why don't we do one last score break? Because everybody has one more question left, and they're due.
Okay. Dave is in last place with 236. Kim, I am in next with 193, then Sarah with 149, and Kim is still in the lead with 119.
Oh.
A bam. Lots and lots of room to maneuver on this, so don't worry. Everybody gets one more question, starting with Sarah. Sarah, on ER, how many episodes into ER? Just a few episodes in that show. How many episodes into ER did Mark Green die?
Mark Green?
Mark Green, played by Anthony Edwards.
No, they took forever to kill him off, and then it was like they pinned it on the bulletin board or some bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was still, like, I was half watching at that point. Oh, God.
Didn't he die in a bathroom or something?
No, I was in a bed.
No.
That's where he fell down once or something, maybe?
He was in
Hawaii,
I think.
Yeah. He, like, filmed a video or something like that and wrote a letter. It was a whole
thing. He did fall down in a bathroom.
Yeah. Got beaten up by someone in a bathroom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Started his.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. Okay.
Probably by the same guy who carjacked David 6 Feet Under. 220.
178.
That is way closer than I thought.
That puts you 42 off. So, carry the one. final score of 190, I believe.
I have 191.
190, okay. Yes, sorry, 191.
Okay.
You are right, I am wrong. Kim, final question. Yeah. On The Simpsons, how many episodes into The Simpsons did Maude Flanders die?
Oh my God. Am I the wrong person to get this question?
Oh no.
No, oh, that would be this guy. So, thanks for taking that one for the team.
God. I mean, I knew it was a thing that happened. I wasn't watching the show at the time, but I don't think I watched after about season.
Also, it's had more seasons than Bonanza at this point.
Yeah. And then Survivor. Or Dancing with the Stars. Boy, I'm just going to take a stab and hope I'm not like 100 off. Let's say... I'm multiplying in my head. I'm sorry. 230.
240. Holy
shit. Oh my God.
That is incredible.
Well, Kim won.
Nice. Oh
my hat is off.
Dang.
Tara?
Yes.
I'm on order. How many episodes into that show did Claire Kincaid die?
God. 180.
134.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, before I get my question, can I ask for my score again?
Yeah, you have 236.
236. Okay, thank you.
Yes. So you have a shot at finishing in fourth or in third play your cards right here.
Okay. Yes, I am currently in last place.
All right.
Correct. Dave, on Survivor, how many episodes into Survivor did someone first play a hidden immunity idol?
Oh boy, after my time, I think. No, I think I'll still watch it. Then. Hidden immunity idol.
Yes.
I'm gonna. Oh boy, I don't know
did
how many episodes.
Did they start those again? The 1940s.
Yes.
Thing is, though, I don't know how many episodes in a season this thing has. Is it a short?
I think it varies.
Yeah. Let's go with 82.
165.
Oh shit.
Wow.
That's a lot later than I would have suspected.
Me too. It is. Me too.
So that tacks 83 on you.
Can I just say for the record,
yes,
that I was contemplating trying to guess an answer that would get me to 1,000 even. But then you dangled the possibility of Tara being in last place, and I couldn't
All right, here are our standings as we end. Dave is in last place with 319. I'm next with 239. Then Sarah with 191. And Kim ran away with this thing with 129. Hey. Valued guest!
Valued guest!
Amazing!
Valued guest.
Wow.
And this was a really fun game. Good job,
Joe. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. That is it for another episode of Extra Hot Great. We went to the beach, made up sandcastles and stuff, and watched summer TV. I don't have notes. Then we went around the dial with stops at Catfish, Survivor, Scandal, and Happy Valley. Kim pitched us Lost, the pilot, and won. And we did Winners and Lose Week and Game Time, which Kim won. Remember.
We're listening.
I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tara Arianna.
Dave's going to take a summer nap.
You're doing a hell of a job there, Freckles.
Yeah. Joe Reed.
Where are we?
And double victorious Kim Reed.
Guys, we've got to go back.
This is Extra Hot Great. We'll see you next time. Guys, summer's over.
And winter is coming.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.